Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Good morning, I'm Eric Reeser. 8 is the most home runs hit in a single game in Cleveland Guardians franchise history. The Indians hit that number in New York against the Yankees back in 2019. The most dingers hit a Progressive Field in a single game? That belongs to this Guardians squad. Cleveland smacked 7 of them last night in a 13-4 rout of the Twins. The win improves Cleveland to 53-48 on the season. Guardians trail the White Sox by one game in the Central. Cleveland will host Minnesota tonight at 6:40. As for the Reds, Cincinnati was shut out last night in Seattle. The Mariners won game 1 of a 3-game set, 8-0. Both teams are back at T-Mobile tonight at 9:40. And the University of Michigan says athletic director Ward Manuel will step down at the end of the year. The news comes amid an investigation that uncovered cultural problems within the Wolverine scandal-plagued athletic department. This update is sponsored by Vermeer Heartland. Vermeer Heartland opens in Columbus August 3rd. Get the Vermeer equipment you trust, genuine parts, expert service. Visit VermeerHL.com. Breaking sports news when it happens on The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Your morning just got more interesting. Distilled and barrel-picked for your listening pleasure. Bo Bishop, a local sports media legend. What William T. Sherman was to the Union Army, he is to Northern College football. A husband, a father, and middling youth sports coach. He's friends with Central Ohio sporting royalty.
I'm talking to Ohio State Athletic Director Ross Bjorken. Coach Day walking on with us right now. Good to see you, buddy.
Good buddy, Austin Ward.
My good buddy, Tim May, the Tim May Show.
The great Doug Lamery is joining us.
Hi, everybody. Dom Tabari here.
Oh, Reese came in, and he's handed me papers.
Yeah,
and then
it's a rundown.
And then he said, you see that button? That's the only button you need to worry about. Don't touch. There's 8,000 buttons in front of me. Oh, I didn't know what he was talking about.
The one that says on.
We blew the budget on this imaging, and only two guys answered our ad on Craigslist. Ryan Baker and Eric Reeser. Act accordingly. You're now listening to Bishop and Friends.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for over 75 years.
Appropriately caffeinated and thrilled to be back on a Tuesday edition of the program. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Eric Reeser, Joshua Perry, Ryan Baker with you until noon today. Dom Tabari will join us at 10:30. We'll do the Irish, the Notre Dame Fighting Irish, as one of our 20 most interesting college football programs at 11 o'clock. So Brian Driscoll, who owns and operates IrishBreakdown.com, will join us at 11:30. Joshua, good morning. How was your first foray into the 20 most interesting programs yesterday?
It was good. We went with a little G5 action with South Florida. So, you know, we talked about one of our own, Brian Hartline, that program. They're in an interesting spot as we're entering this new era. As we spoke yesterday, it was really cool to just kind of look at a program who doesn't have a lot of history, hasn't been around a long time, but wants to kind of be that next man up when it comes to the next round of expansion. But, certainly enjoyable, and we're getting the feels back, you know, like we are bordering on college football season.
I was wondering how you guys were going to handle everything, because when we do 20 most interesting programs, the 11 o'clock hour is taken up by that school, or in yesterday's case, the group of five and programs that we find interest in going into the 2026 season. But so much happened on Monday, and I expect that to kind of be the case as we roll through this week. As you had the Michigan stuff yesterday with Ward Manuel, we'll get into. You had SEC Media Days kickoff where Greg Sankey's talking about seceding yet again, the South wants to do, from the rest of the country.
Of course.
And then you've still LeBron watch, which I think is something that we will have to look forward to over the next couple of days of constantly being in. Now, I don't know if looking forward to is the right way to phrase it. As a Cavaliers fan, and I see on some of these sites the Cavs getting some of the, if not the best odds to land King James again, I'm thrilled. Take your time, LeBron, so much as you end up in Cleveland.
It feels like the odds of where he's going to land changes by the hour. You know, if you listen to, and by the way, these insiders, I think, oftentimes do a phenomenal job of reading tea leaves and getting information from people who are in the know. I don't think they have a damn clue what's getting ready to happen. So you discount all that, but they say something moves the needle, and then people start looking at him. You know, he was at Fanatics Fest and he did this and he did that. Trust the process. I was like, oh my God, is that a Philly thing? I'm in wait and see. I'd love for him to be back in Cleveland. I have no expectations for this process.
It's funny, Reese, you talk about yesterday
And we didn't even really get into SEC Media Days that much with the Ward Manuel news. We had some LeBron and thing or not a thing with the whole, like JP mentioned, trust the process. Does that mean Philly? But we didn't get to that either. It was a lot of Ward Manuel. And then we stuck to the script and we stuck with Central or South Florida yesterday in the 11 o'clock hour.
And we'll do the same with the Fighting Irish at 11 o'clock, but we'll see. We're in wait and see mode for the first 2 hours of the program. I'd mentioned being properly caffeinated at the top of the show. I came in this morning and Joshua's here before I am, as he's exponentially the more professional of the two in this room. And Joshua, I don't think I've ever seen the can of Red Bull that you were rocking. Like, it's comically large. I don't know if you could hold it up for those watching on YouTube. And I would recommend anybody, everybody, watch us on YouTube if you're able to. We appreciate everybody listening to us on the radio, podcast, however it is you get Bishop and Friends, doing it however you do. But I've never seen a can of Red Bull that big.
Big 20-ouncer.
Did you get that because you knew you were in with me today? You're like,
no.
I'm going to need to be extra ready for this character.
I got this because I did not fall asleep until about 1 a.m.
What happened? Night.
Just was up.
Were you like, watching the Guardians smack around?
I was not.
Minnesota Twins? Okay.
So I got to that point. I've got this time of year, I've got a pretty strict viewing schedule. I'll piddle around, and then if I can watch Jeopardy, I enjoy watching that. And then I'll just, you know, throw on some Food Network or something easy, maybe Game Show Network, watch The Weakest Link. Then if I stay up long enough, I get to the 11 o'clock news. So I like to watch what the folks over there on the other side of the building do for 10 TV. I think it's a great news broadcast. I love watching local news. But I couldn't get to sleep after that. So then I flipped it over to this channel called Dabble, and they've got these reruns of sitcoms that I used to watch. So I started watching Girlfriends, and then The Game came on, which is a show that I've watched in its entirety probably like 8 or 9 times by now. And I was just locked in on the storyline. So that's what got me.
So you were unable to sleep. And so this morning you said to yourself, I don't know where you even get a can of Red Bull that big. Like, Giant Eagle's not selling them.
Oh, they got them everywhere.
At a gas station?
Yeah. So I walked into the gas station today, grabbed my can of Red Bull, and the guy at the counter looked at me, as it happens here. I grew up in the city, so obviously people look and they're like, maybe I've seen this guy before. And he's like, did you play football? And I was like, yes. And he's like, give me your name. And I'm like, Joshua Perry. And he's like, oh, you know, I used to work in food service for Olin Tangi. He's like, I followed your career. He said, I actually went to one of your games in high school one time. And I'm like, oh, man. And he's like, yeah, I remember this play where this guy was screaming down the sideline and then you tackled him. And I don't know what happened, but you got ejected from the game. And so as this story goes, the quarterback is, we're playing our rivals, like first game of the season. The quarterback's this cat that I knew from the fourth grade when I moved here, and we never got along. Could not stand, dude. So he's screaming down the sideline. I tackle him. We roll out of bounds. As we're getting up, he kicks me in the chest. So as a hot-headed teenager,
sure,
I punched him. And then I got tossed because the second guy always gets caught. And that was this man's lasting memory of Joshua Perry.
That's a pretty good one.
I don't know, man.
Did the kick,
I feel like that's not my brand.
It's certainly not something that I would have seen, like, out of you. Even, I mean, going back to Ohio State, like, you played with some characters.
I did.
And there were plenty of guys on that team in 2014, 2015 that I've been like, if a guy throws a kick, he's throwing a punch. You're not on that.
Yeah.
Like our buddy Tyvus, who precedes us on T-Bone and Tyvus, I think he'd throw a punch.
I think he probably would.
You know.
No. So that was fall of 2011. So it's been a while. And that's like the one thing he remembered.
That was high school, Joshua, though. So I have a couple questions about this.
Okay.
One, who was the team?
We were playing Orange.
So you're playing Orange. Yep. And Orange was a brand new school.
Yeah. Then. I think it was like second new year open. Yeah.
And where did you punch him?
In the chest.
Okay, so he kicked you in the chest. You punched him in the chest.
It wasn't,
no harm, no foul.
It wasn't just like a punch. Like, it was a huge wind up. Like,
body weight.
This was like 7-8 years of, I don't really like this guy anyway. And so if I'm going to do something, now is the time to do it.
I was going to say, at least you didn't hit him in the helmet, but I want to go back to the guy who served you the giant Red Bull this morning. All of the memories and all of the moments you've had in this community, in this city, as a football player in high school, as a football player at the highest level at Ohio State, that was the one pull he had.
Listen, man.
It was an incredible job out of him.
Well, here's the reality, and I think this is a good reminder, is people don't necessarily remember you for the things you want to be remembered for. Like, you got to be on guard, because you'll run into a guy randomly. He's a very nice guy. We had a great conversation, but you'll run into somebody who will remind you of a low light of your life, and you just got to be able to roll with that.
One of the things that I was interested coming in this morning is having yesterday off was how much of the Michigan situation you guys went over.
Oh,
because it broke during the show, which we don't get a lot around here. It's usually Rothman and Ice
that get so
the
lucky.
Bulk of the breaking news. And so with this Ward Manuel announcement where he gets to kind of walk off on his own terms, despite it makes no sense that he's going to be given not only the chance to leave on his own terms, probably a nice fat buyout, but that he gets to remain as Michigan tries to clean up his mess.
Yeah.
And he's one of the guys that will try to steer, I guess, a culture shift, despite being the guy who was part of the cultural problems that a $12 million investigation uncovered.
Reese, real quick, not only because he's not totally leaving on his own terms, because he was going to step down immediately.
Oh, that's true.
And they convinced him to stay.
Stick till the end of the calendar year.
Let's break here, and then on the other side, I'll explain my thoughts on
that's
this.
That's efficient clock management out of you. So we'll have Ward Manuel coming back, but also LeBron James, if you are listening to this station, I don't know why you wouldn't be. I have the one way you can help Ohio State football right now before you make the decision to return to Cleveland. All of that coming up next. Bishop and Friends on
Atlas Butler has convenient 2-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service, because nobody likes waiting around. You listen in BMB, nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
For the fan, we love summer as much as the next guy.
Fun times at the pool, family vacations, all that crap.
But as the dog days descend upon us, it only means one thing.
Buckeye Football Fall Camp.
Join us beginning August 6th. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
We'll see areas of thunderstorms into the afternoon today. Some of those could be strong with gusty winds, also locally heavy rain possible. Should catch a bit of a break for part of the afternoon before a few more storms may develop for the evening hours. Otherwise, look for highs in the lower 80s, pretty humid as well. Tonight, clearing skies, mid-60s. And for tomorrow, mostly sunny and pleasant, highs in the mid-70s. For the fan, I'm 10 Weather Impact meteorologist Justin Gertz.
Miss a little, miss a lot. Catch Bishop and Friends wherever you get your podcasts. It's free.
Sponsored by Atlas Butler Heating, Cooling, and Plumbing.
The Fan. Bo could quit today and become the school drop-off line coordinator. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
While Bo contemplates his next career move, whether he stays on radio or becomes the drop-off coordinator at his son's schools, he's in Montana for the week. So you got Eric Reeser, Joshua Perry, and Ryan Baker today with you until noon. And then the rest of this week, Bo returns on Monday, hopefully without any bad travel stories. Because you heard from Baker his ordeal.
Oh, yeah.
Similar to what Odysseus had trying to return home to Ithaca after the Trojan War. Very, you know, comparables.
Right.
Especially with that movie coming out last week. What you will have next week as well, Big Ten Media Days. The conference is finally realizing you just need to stick to your footprint in some situations.
Well,
doing it in Chicago.
Yeah.
Baby steps, Joshua.
Listen, I know they wanted to test out that West Coast. I think they want to take some events out that way. I think they're going to take some events out that way.
Probably.
So, you know, they're trying to see the reaction. It's like a weather balloon,
launch.
You know? Yeah, yeah. You gotta put it up there and see what the reaction is. They shouldn't do it for media days. It's just not good.
I agree. I'm trying to see. So 2026 was at Lucas Oil. Did they promise one to Las Vegas? Because I'm looking to see. We'll try to get it later on in the program. Which the Big Ten championship game that Kevin Warren promised to NBC that he couldn't promise to the Peacock.
Yeah, and then we sold it anyway.
Good job out of NBC.
I wanted to do it. I was pissed.
No, you did.
Anyway, neither here nor there.
But with Media Days next week, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, from Chicago, you're going to get Ohio State on that Tuesday, I want to say. July 29th will be the Wednesday, excuse me. You're going to have Michigan talking on Thursday, July 30th. Now, with the news coming out yesterday, all of the players, all three of them, Bryce Underwood, Trey Pierce, Jordan Marshall, are going to be asked about Sharon Moore.
Yes.
Some of them are going to be asked about Ward Manuel.
Mm-hmm.
Kyle Whittingham, the new head coach, is going to be asked about all of it. Now, I was doing a Saturday program with Dane Sanzenbacher a couple years ago. We were kind of in the thick of, whatever their spygate was, the sign-stealing scandal for Connor Stallions.
Mm-hmm.
And we had kind of thought that Michigan was going to play it the exact same way they've been playing it the entire time and how they kind of played it yesterday, how Michigan fans were going to be in their own world and mm-hmm. their own reality has them doing nothing wrong. And that was going to be because of the hubris of the Michigan man, where they were going to be, where they're going to be. And it's a thing where you're not going to want to argue with them because it's just like yelling at a brick wall. But for the people with that program, Dane had a great point that they are now and forever going to have to answer and be asked about that. Similarly with what happened in Ward Manuel's tenure, everybody involved in that Michigan program is going to have to own what's gone on in Ann Arbor.
Sure.
And that's a little bit of solace that I can take from all of this.
I think they're going to have to own it. But you mentioned the Michigan man hubris and the way that they have yeah. operated throughout all of this. What they're going to turn around and say is we won both a football and a basketball national championship. I really don't care. And I like this is the point that we've gotten to. And I felt like at least for collegiate athletics, right, cheating's always gone on. People have always broken the rules. There have always been bad actors. But this was at least a place where you felt like if you did that, there were consequences because there is a bigger picture going on here. There was a little bit more to the collegiate athletic experience than just wins and losses. And this to me feels like the point now where no, it only comes down to the wins and the losses because they pretty much skated from all the stuff that went on here. Sure, there are some coaches that have show causes that can't coach in collegiate athletics, but like, you know, a lot of those guys on that staff who are not in jail are perfectly fine, right? They've gone on, they're living their lives the way that they want to live it. Ward Manuel is going to walk out of University of Michigan with a big ass check and some national championship rings. I don't know what he's going to do from here on out, but I'm sure he'll be fine. And that's just kind of the point where we're at. Like, it feels like nobody really got punished. Whereas the old days of collegiate athletics, you could break the rules, you could be a bad actor, but you were going to have to actually be punished for your actions.
The lack of institutional control label that was smacked on Ohio State for Tressel and Tatgate, how deep it went. This is worse than that.
Yeah.
We had talked, you know, about other scandals in college football, and for whatever Art Briles was accused of doing, the head coach of your football team arranging an abortion for a staffer who was impregnated by one of your assistants is as bad, in my opinion, as anything any coach has done or not done.
I mean, when you put it in those terms.
if that Block and Jenner investigation is to be believed and all the facts are true,
yeah,
that's what Jim Harbaugh did.
Well, to be fair, allegedly, he was not knowing, which I think is one of the wildest things from this investigation. You paid $12 million to figure out that nobody really knew anything that was going on, but everybody was a part of it somehow.
It's amazing that you talk about the Michigan man and how they still, in the statement from the university yesterday that we read a lot of, Joshua,
They still tried, to all our listeners too.
They still tried to hold that, like, they started off with, well, we're really good at all of these things,
yep,
but this is minor. And you said in your update, Reese, you said widespread corruption. They said it wasn't widespread, that this was a small, minuscule thing. Well, when you add it all up, like we talked about yesterday, Connor Stallions, Matt Weiss, I believe it was Xavier Simpson that was driving the vehicle that he got in a wreck that was registered toward Manuel's wife. All of the recruiting violations. That's what they actually got suspended for. Jim Harbaugh actually got suspended for recruiting
and
violations.
That's one program.
Twice.
There was issues in the basketball program. There were issues in the hockey program.
Yes.
Like,
they tried to go down swinging with their, we are Michigan men.
Yeah. I mean, but that's what they do. That's what they believe in. And as much as the rest of us in the collegiate athletics world can see that those things don't make sense, their perspective is their perspective. They see it from a completely different lens. One of the things that we were talking about before the show was how crazy it feels that Ward Manuel is going to hang around until the end of the year and he's been appointed into a special advisory role. And I know that there are a lot of people who are doing the, well, what was Michigan supposed to do because he knows where all the bodies are buried? Like, he's probably got leverage over them.
There's that.
And I think there's part of that that's going on. But I don't think people understand how the actual dysfunction of that university right now. They have an interim president. They've had their top doctor and their top lawyer go to other institutions. Now they're dealing with this Ward Manuel situation. And by the way, this is an election year for two of their regents who are people that are elected. One of their regents is notorious for going into people's Twitter DMs and for talking to reporters and spreading rumors and spinning. And this guy is not up for re-election. He's not on the ballot this time. So they've got problems with their university leadership. They've got problems with their board of regents. And it's this odd thing that stands out to me that Ward is kind of like one of the guys who's been there for a while. And I think it's a terrible time to hire an AD, but they're probably sitting here saying, well, a lot of our top leaders aren't around anyway. Like, I don't think we can actually let him walk out the door today. Like, who's going to be around? And it's such an odd thing. So I think they're waiting for this election so they can know who the new regents are. They probably want to hire a university president. Nobody wants to hire an AD in July. The whole thing is a mess up there.
Because even when trying to attract top talent to those positions, right? You want to attract the best possible candidate to be the university president.
Yes.
Job number one for that university president is going to be cleaning up the mess of your most high profile thing, Michigan athletics. So good luck attracting truly the leaders and the best. It's the cheaters we detest. I do understand if you're driving around out there, if you're on 270 right now, and be careful because it's raining. And we don't have any windows in the studio, but I know it's raining because you can see the televisions go out. We still have satellite.
Yeah.
Be careful if you're driving around out there. But how many, I wonder, like, all right, we're tired of this Michigan thing. We're tired of talking about it. We're tired of hearing about it. And I think it's fair. But I don't necessarily want it to just go away because I think that's what Michigan wants.
Yeah.
And so what the Michigan man would like.
Yeah.
I think they would say, they would, from their fake high horse, say, oh, we're in Ohio State fans' heads, rent free. They're still talking about Michigan. They're still talking about, as if that's some kind of own of Ohio State fans. Like, this to me is important enough to just help everybody that wants it to go, I understand just the great hypocrisy with all of it, and never let the Michigan man live it down. Because I think they need to own this, at least the ones that were involved, forever.
I mean, they tried to make us wear a tat gate for forever, up until they were caught with the right. Connor Stallions deal. Like that, I mean, you talk to Michigan men and women, and the two things they would always say is like, oh, our academic standards and you guys are a terrible school, which, like, not true. The other thing that they would say is, oh, we don't cheat. We do it the right way. And you guys were caught red-handed and we would never do that up here. So, yeah, I think they should probably wear it for a little bit.
Yeah, you want this stain to last because that's something that they held on to. And when Michigan fans say, well, we got these two national championships, you know what? They're right. And even if they strip them of those national championships, we all still saw it.
We watched the games.
So, yeah, let's let this stain on their reputation last for a long time.
So Thursday, July 30th, you're going to get Kyle Whittingham and the three Michigan players at Big Ten Media Days in Chicago. Ryan Day is going to have a pair of three Buckeyes. They're going with him for the media festivities next week. A big, and I mean massive in a handful of ways, boom potentially for Ohio State that could come tomorrow. LeBron, if you're listening, I have one way you can help Ohio State land David Gabriel George, and I'll tell you what it is in 2 minutes. It's Bishop and Friends on the
Atlas Butler has convenient 2-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service because nobody likes waiting around. You listen in BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE. Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for almost 80 years. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
What's up?
What's up, man?
Slow Pursuit.
Sponsored by Apex Pros.
The pros who knows.
All right, here's what's up on a Tuesday. We're looking towards tomorrow, Wednesday, a first Friday at 5:30. Five-star running back David Gabriel George out of Tennessee. ESPN's got him as the 14th overall prospect in the class of 2027. Is going to announce where he's spending his collegiate career. He's going to be doing so on CBS Sports College Football YouTube channel. So tomorrow, 5:30 Eastern, the 6 foot, 205-pound Gabriel George is rated by 24/7 Sports as the 10th highest player in the 2027 class. He's the number two running back in the nation. What's really interesting about David Gabriel George and his recruitment is that it's gotten so intense between Ohio State, between Tennessee and other suitors, that he's expected to be the first $1 million running back recruit in the NIL era. So before I explain how LeBron James can step in and help things out, Joshua, when you hear that we're about to get, come Wednesday, the first $1 million-plus running back in this era, what do you think?
No, I want to be the first person to necessarily pay that is kind of where I'm at. Here's the reality of the situation. We know the market continues to go up, and it's going to do that so long as there's not a cap on this thing. Like, if you're that good, you'll be able to command a market that will continue to increase. There is this idea of being okay with paying a little bit more year after year to continue to secure the top talent and paying desperation money to get guys to commit to your school. And it feels like there are certain recruiting battles, and Tennessee is one of them. And it's, have you seen the discourse on social media, by the way, between Ohio State fans and Tennessee fans?
I'm not paying attention to that, man.
Okay, well, they act like they didn't come up here and get their ass absolutely handed to them, right? The way that these guys talk is crazy. They act like Peyton Manning's still there. It is wild. But this is one of those battles where Tennessee is just willing to pay whatever because they're chasing something that they haven't seen in so long. We've seen it recently. Guys remember it. They want to be around here without necessarily having to, you know, they'll take a little bit of a cut to be here. Now, if we're talking the difference between, you know, $1.2 million and $2 million, I don't know if guys are willing to take that on an annual basis, but certainly interesting to see, because I feel like when you get into these battles, LSU is one of those teams. Mm-hmm. Tennessee is always in the middle of these. We're going to pay you much more than what other teams are willing to pay to try to get you in the door.
And I do think a lot about Chaz Coleman, 4-star defensive end, out of Northeast Ohio, who went to Penn State and then followed Jim Knowles and his big binder to Knoxville. And they paid him a bunch of money that Ohio State wasn't willing to pay. And now Chaz Coleman's not going to play a down for the Tennessee Volunteers. On Three had the reporting of the compensation package for Tennessee for David Gabriel Georges, a 3-year deal in the $2 million range annually. It was a good job out of JB in the YouTube chat saying, correction, he'll be announcing where he'll be spending his freshman year.
True.
Because nowadays, yeah, you're right. You're just spending where you're going next year.
And that's okay. Ohio State can take him after his, you know, freshman season. If you remember, I believe it was last year, maybe it was 2 years ago, Ohio State and Tennessee were in that big battle for David Sanders, the number one tackle in the high school recruit. And Tennessee was willing to do things that Ohio State was not. And it really hasn't worked out for Tennessee yet the way they're doing it. Maybe it will. But if I'm Mr. Georges, I'm going to look at what's been going on here at Ohio State, and I may sacrifice a little bit of money to come here to be developed and end up being a first-round draft pick.
Well, there's the argument, pros. Right?
That's what I would do. Well, the other thing that would flatter me for him is Ohio State has made him their number one priority in the running back room. Like, they got Legend Bay last year, but Legend Bay isn't necessarily a straight-up running back. He's a guy that's going to do things all around the field. They did bring in Favor Akee out of Delaware, but local kid, maybe not as highly touted as some of the other running backs that they passed on. So Ohio State has made this kid their priority, and I understand the monetary issues and the that's nice to say, oh, I'm going to get $2 million a year. This school was only going to offer me, as you mentioned, maybe 1.2 or whatnot. But I would think being Ohio State's priority has got to be pretty flattering.
It is, but the flattery's got to hit the bank at a certain point, right? And like, I think that's where a lot of these guys get. And for me, it's easy to sit here as a 32-year-old, and I've been through the process, and now I'm on the other side of it. And I think it's probably easier for other kids too. You know, maybe parents are a little bit more well off, or you're the kid of a pro, and you're not worried about money. Some of these guys are looking at the difference in these NIL offers, and they're thinking, this might be my only shot to really ever get paid any type of real money. And so I understand that battle in their head. And when you're 17 or 18 years old, you can't even think about, what is my ideal picture of life when I'm in my 30s? But if we're going to go down that route, you'd rather have Columbus backing you. You'd rather have the development of the Ohio State program and the lineage of players that have come out of here. Like, all of the resources that exist here outside of just the football aspect, you would take that. But if it comes down to, my family's hurting right now, we need a little bit of money. Mm-hmm. You know, I want mom to live an easier life. She's working doubles all the time. I don't even get to see her right now. I don't know this kid's background. I'm just speaking in generalities here. That's how you get to guys saying, I'm just going to take the money that's in front of me today.
It would be a great feather in the cap for Ohio State if you're landing the kind of player that David Gabriel George is expected to be, a big bruising running back, but in this day and age, a guy that probably looks at Quinshon and says, that can be me.
Mm-hmm.
And you think about the legacy for Ohio State running backs just recently with Quinshon and Travion, Bo Jackson, Isaiah West, and then you go into Isaiah West and David Gabriel George. Like,
be pretty damn good.
Pretty dope. And I don't know, again, if Ohio State's willing to put $2 million towards a running back. He would have to be awesome. He would have to be incredible if that was going to be the case. I think the Buckeyes, to your point, have done a great job of properly allocating funds for persons not only out of the transfer portal, but persons out of high school.
They've got it so dialed in. Like, the way that they evaluate and assign a dollar figure to the current players on the roster and to any of their targets, whether it's high school or whether it's the transfer portal. Yeah. It is a science over there at the Woody and how they get there. Of course, you got to leave some wiggle room, right? If you get into a bidding war and it's a guy that you feel like you got to have, right? Like, kind of throw the sheet out the window, but they're pretty dialed into how much they are willing to spend in certain situations for a certain type of guy to fit into their framework of what creates a team that can contend for a championship.
And I know you have a certain succession plan where you bring a guy in, you want him to play for this amount of time, you want to have this guy ready to go. And we've seen that a couple times in a quarterback room get interrupted. Maybe in the Quinn Ewers situation, you thought you were going to have him kind of change things. Kyle McCord played maybe a year before you wanted or whatnot. But Ohio State is still in a good position in this running back room, so they don't have to be desperate. Bo Jackson and Isaiah West are sophomores. Mm-hmm. Legend Bay, maybe he's not going to be a true bell cow running back, but he's going to be a freshman. You already have a commitment from the 2028 class from Elijah Newman Hall, who, Reese, we talked about when they were having their 7-on-7 camps at Ohio State. The kid's a monster already at 16. Like, he is a grown man at 16. So Ohio State, maybe this is the guy they want, but they're still in a good spot where they don't have to overpay.
They don't have to overpay, and they shouldn't overpay. But what they can do is they can assign some social equity to this commitment. LeBron James, how much do you love Ohio State, right? I think this is the question that can be posed. Because what LeBron can do as he dangles his decision in front of all of us, he can call up David Gabriel George. I'm sure there's a way they can be connected. Like, Clutch Sports is signing athletes every other day from every different sport. So you've got to have somebody in that pipeline that connect DGG to LeBron James. You say, all right, David, I am willing to let you announce where I'm going to be playing in the NBA next year if you commit to Ohio State. I will let you make the decision, and I will appear on that CBS Sports College Football YouTube broadcast with you if you commit to the Buckeyes. We'll do a DGG decision and then an LBJ decision Wednesday at 5:30. But you have to commit to Ohio State. They don't tell anybody that, but he jumps on and he throws the Tennessee ad in the garbage can.
And sign.
For 3 years.
Yes. It could be interesting.
The other thing,
if LeBron really loves Ohio State, he got all that money, and I know he is notoriously cheap.
Well,
but go ahead and throw in a little extra to match the offer, brother. You got it?
You could make, so say the offer for Ohio State's $1.2 million, $1.3 million. You bump it up a couple hundred thousand dollars. You give it that 2 million spot. You say, all right, what's Tennessee giving you? We will match and then some.
Man, okay. He's got it in his couch cushions. He's good.
Why don't we just sweeten it a little bit here and LeBron?
I'm just saying, LeBron, help.
Let him make your decision where you're like the undercard, and then he can do his, and he can feel like the main event there.
Okay, yeah, flip it?
Yeah, just flip it a little bit.
I'll be totally okay with that. But you have to sign with Ohio State.
Yes.
If he signs with Tennessee, then the whole thing's just like, well, I don't know. I do.
That would be sick.
Now hold on, Reese. Oh my God, Reese. Hold on, though. What if he commits to Ohio State
and LeBron commits to Ohio State?
LeBron goes to Philly or New York.
Yeah, that's the thing. It could only work out.
Is it got to be an Ohio package deal?
No, my scenario is only if he comes to Cleveland. Everything else, bleep it. Let Dave and Gabriel George commit on YouTube tomorrow at 5:30, and let LeBron drag this out forever.
So they do this commitment together, and LeBron goes to Philly. And he goes to Tennessee, and now we're just chilling.
Now we're angry online.
Everybody's mad online.
Well, you know, yesterday there was a subset of the Michigan man is not necessarily angry, but just in his own reality online. SEC fans were a bit mad online yesterday. Yeah. It was because of stuff SEC decision makers were saying. You'll hear from the boss of the Southeastern Conference coming up next. It's Bishop and Friends.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Fan has a secret radio station. It's called The Fan 2. You can listen to The Bob and Tom Show, Jim Rome, and Buckeye Stuff. Why do they pay me big money to whisper? The Fan 2 is on The Fan's HD2 channel and streaming on The Fan app. You're welcome. All your favorite fan shows are available when you want them.
Head to 971thefan.com and hit that subscribe button.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
We'll read your emails on the air,
but we won't tell you where to send them.
Hey, we're not doing all the work for you.
This is Bishop and Friends.
Yes, it is. Eric Reeser, Joshua Perry, Ryan Baker with you until noon today. Stay safe out there. It is raining. But a welcome reprieve from the last week. We've got the Real Truth coming up at 10 o'clock, and I have a Real Truth to pose to the boys about just the summer that it's been. Just the week you had last week. The July that's been. Really kind of feels like survive in advance, the phrase that pays in 2026. So hopefully everybody's doing all right out there. If you've had some ailments that have put you on the toilet longer and more impactful than usual, hopefully that is clearing up.
That whole thing is troublesome for me. My wife is one of those people who likes to eat the salad that comes...
the prepackaged salad, yes. The mixers, yeah.
Yep, so she just cuts the bag open, you throw the different ingredients in there. And for a long time, I've told her that it's probably the most unsanitary way to eat a salad anyway. Like, you hear of people getting, like, stomach bugs from that stuff all sure. The time. And then you have now this dookie parasite that's literally, like, people are out. And I went to the store yesterday. I wanted to make a sandwich. I had some leftover fish. I wanted to make a little po' boy. I don't even know if I can eat lettuce right now. Like, I don't know what's safe. I don't know what's not. And it's really throwing me.
Do you, either of you, know anybody or of anybody that has gotten
I know
this
of
parasite?
One person.
Okay. None, thankfully.
Yeah.
I don't know of
thoughts
anybody
with that
either.
One person.
Yeah.
Speaking of salads, the commissioner of the Southeastern Conference gave a 46-minute word salad yesterday. I don't know how much of this you guys got into on Monday or how much our listeners have gone back to watch just some of his comments, but I think if you had asked anybody who's listened to this show long enough, you could have figured out what Sankey was going to say going up there and opine. Look, the commissioner's job mm-hmm. is to do what's best for the conference. He answers to the presidents, the coaches, the athletic directors of the member institutions. Mm-hmm. It's similarly with Tony Petitti. Pat Forte had some comments on Paul Feinbaum's show, and Paul will join us Thursday at 10:30 about how Tony Petitti is looking around on college campuses, seeing where can I put this billboard? How else can I monetize this? How else can I do something like this to add brand value to college football, as if that's a bad thing? And while we don't like it because we romanticize the college football that's pure and free and clear of all of that.
Yes.
Greg Sankey's doing the exact same thing. So act like the two are different is wild.
No, they're absolutely one and the same. I think we made a decision, almost like we made a moral decision, because one favored a larger field that was less large as the other. And so now we're like, oh, this guy, he knows a little bit better than the other guy. Mm-hmm. They're both doing the same thing. And in my opinion, the money part, you got to do what you got to do to make the money.
Right.
But you're also killing the sport in some ways when you're like, hey, 2014 postseason. Every postseason is doing this, by the way. And I've got a big take on this. I'm not ready to give quite yet, but they're bothering me.
All right, so the take's marinating. When do you think it'll be ready to serve?
Later today.
Later today?
Yeah.
All right, just, we might have to throw away some Notre Dame discussion for that take. Because if
it's a hell of a tease.
Because the thing it's bouncing great around takes in my head. Is it takes the time it takes to marinate. Mm-hmm. And so I don't want to rush you to where you present that to our audience. But for the commissioner of the SEC, the talk has been that the SEC, the Big Ten, could break off from the NCAA and go their own way. Now, it would mostly think, I think from a football standpoint, I don't think they would just take all of their sports and go away with it. I think what you would actually see is a football secession, and the Big Ten and the SEC certainly have the power to do that. Here's Greg Sankey yesterday when asked about those discussions of breaking off from the NCAA.
So you phrased the question of how real. So I'll take that as like real or not real. So they're real. People have talked about that. They've opined about the frustrations that bring them to the point of saying we should look at something significantly different. I do not believe that is a leverage point. I think that's just honest communication. I would prefer that stay in a meeting room or on a video conference and not be part of the D1 ticker the next morning, but I don't control all of that. Eddie, what I think is important is those comments represent a high level of frustration with the circumstance in which we find ourselves.
Now, in 10 minutes, we'll do the real truth. And I would ask to Commissioner Sankey, when he talks about it's not a leverage point, is that the real truth? Everything he says, he views as a leverage point, and he should.
Right. I mean, we talked about this a little bit, but if it is leverage, you're never going to say that is just leverage. And if that's what you actually want to do, you're going to say that's what you actually want to do. So this was the only answer that he was ever going to give on this topic here. The thing that is interesting to me about breaking off, the more I imagine what that world looks like, the less I'm convinced that it's actually more lucrative for them to do it. Because if it's just them breaking off, so are you still going to be in the same postseason? What would change about your television deal now that you've broken off that would be different than today? It's all still the same teams, right? Like I'm trying to figure out if the SEC is going to do this, and there's not, the Big Ten is just kind of hanging out doing what they're doing. What's the end game here?
So I think you're right, JP, that it's probably not right now more lucrative for them. And when he says what he does at the beginning there, so you phrase the question, are they real? That to me means, yeah, the idea has been floated around, but these aren't real discussions. Like, this isn't happening, and this isn't happening anytime soon. And I'm guessing the reason for that is what you said, is they can't make it lucrative enough for them to do so. And I think they also know, and I don't know if you have I think we have the cut that he talks about how national championships are still important. If they break off, that's probably not going to be a real national championship.
But I also know the pride with which I spoke of 13 national championships, and there is meaning and value. And I do think a national expectation that we participate in a national organization. But that national organization must function in a healthy manner. Otherwise, that simmering will continue.
So he mentioned simmering, and he talks about frustration in the first cut we played. That's where all of this is coming from.
No doubt.
This is from a frustration with the SEC and kind of being pushed to 9 conference games and a result of them not winning a national championship over the last 4 seasons, I think. And the Big Ten's won the last 3.
I know we're going to talk about this.
This is frustration.
This extra conference game. They got so okey-doked into doing that. Mm-hmm. They got badgered into doing it. They already said they were going to play a power for an A4 opponent in the non-con, and they didn't get the bigger playoff they thought they were going to get. They got fleeced so bad, and all they can do is bitch about it now. Amazing.
And that's where he comes across with frustration, with simmering, because I think he's warning what this comes from is with the Protect College Sports Act. And you have Senators Cruz and Cantwell, who are the two sponsors of this, with just an honest, they just don't understand college athletics. Mm-hmm. And them trying to tell the Big Ten and the SEC what they can and cannot do. And to Commissioner Big Baby Sankey and even bigger baby Tony Petitti, you can't tell us what to do. And that is how this is being phrased. I wouldn't be surprised at all if Tony Petitti comes out with similar discussion points next week. He won't use frustration. He won't use simmering, because I don't think there is that from his conference teams and from his conference decision makers. Sankey's just got it coming from all sides as anger.
It's funny, JP, you talk, though, about they got okey-doked with the playoff. Well, isn't it them and ESPN that said no to a bigger playoff?
Well, like,
they said they could do 16.
Yes, they said no to the 24. Mm-hmm. And so then the Big Ten said, well, we're going to say no to 16, and you're going to be in the worst spot because of it.
So, yeah, we want to break off, but it's you guys at the top, both of you, and I'm throwing the Big Ten in here, mm-hmm. being big babies and wanting to get into a pissing match about what you want. You're the guys that can't agree on anything.
Yeah, that's the problem, is this rift that's started to exist between the postseason philosophies and the Big Ten, the SEC, because they're the only two entities that matter when it comes to the structure of the postseason. They decide if they're going to expand, if they're going to keep it the same, and they can't make a decision together on it.
And December 1st is that kind of soft deadline.
Yeah, how many times has that been kicked back?
To inform ESPN of their plans for 2027. We'll hit the real truth coming up next. Bishop and Friends on
Atlas Butler has convenient 2-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listen in, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Broadcasting live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios. Driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good morning, I'm Eric Reeser. In case you missed it, it was a home run derby last night in Cleveland that powered the Guardians to a 13-4 rout of the Twins. The 7 home runs hit ties a single-game home record and just one short of the all-time franchise record for dingers in a single game. Cleveland's one game out of the top spot in the AL Central, but the Guardians occupy the second wild-card spot in the American League. Cleveland will host Minnesota tonight at 6:40. As for the Reds, Cincinnati lost in Seattle 8-0 last night. Both teams are back at T-Mobile tonight at 9:40. You can hear that game on The Fan following the Buckeye Show. In college football, Big Ten Media Days next week in Chicago. Ryan Day and Buckeyes Julian Sain, Jeremiah Smith, and Jalen McClain will speak next Wednesday. The University of Michigan says Athletic Director Ward Manuel will step down at the end of the year after an investigation found widespread problems in the athletic department. This update sponsored by the Waterworks and Header Plumbing, Drain, Heating, and Cooling. Together to serve you better, scheduled today at thewaterworks.net. Breaking sports news when it happens on The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Atlas Butler has convenient 2-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listen in, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Find us on YouTube. Search WBNS Radio and you can see what Bo looks like. But only if you subscribe. This is Bishop and Friends.
Yes, it is. Eric Reeser, Joshua Perry, Ryan Baker with you on this Tuesday edition. Rolling along until noon today. You got the three of us in the rest of this week. Jake Trotter, ESPN senior college football reporter, will join us tomorrow at 10:30. We'll get Paul Feinbaum Thursday at 10:30 on the program. Today at 10:30, Uncle Dom. It might be building an ark as it is pouring out there. 2x2, right? He's got enough time on his hands, we figure.
I'll tell you right now, I needed this.
I think everybody did.
The grass starting to get a little dry. And sprinklers were a little bit overworked. I needed this.
Yeah, it is pouring. So again, if you're driving around out there, please be safe as you make it to your destination on time. That includes safe stopping distances.
Yeah.
I'm sure James is enjoying the sprinklers, though.
Oh, yeah.
Running around in his diaper in the front yard.
Just the man likes to take the shirt and the pants off and go run around the yard. It's a great life
nothing
to live.
Wrong with that?
No, there's really nothing wrong with it.
Uncle Tom at 10:30. Go ahead.
I'm with you on the stopping distances, by the way. This is a PSA to all the people. Stop following so closely on the interstate in general, but in particular when it's wet, it's okay to leave a little bit of space between you and the car in front of you. You don't have to be on their bumper.
So outside of the radio station, 770 Twin Rivers Drive, come see me outside if you disagree with what I say.
Cash me outside. How about that?
But the road is 25 miles an hour.
No, it's not.
It's so hard to go 25 on
so
that road.
You cross Goodale, and I understand if you're going 30, 35, and you drop it down and you're on that road. But I'll cross and I'll go 25 because I'm not trying to have a cop sitting right outside the parking lot before our parking lot catch me right before I head into work. I'm not trying to have everybody here watch me get a ticket. So I'll go 25. And at least once over the last couple of days, I've had somebody trying to go 55 on that street. And I'm like, I'm not moving any quicker. And for that, and it's widespread throughout Columbus where people are in such a hurry to go somewhere or even get to a red light. Like they'll go 35 behind you. And I'm like, guy, it's a 25. Dude. And I'm not moving any faster for you.
I'm not a road rage person. And I'm not out of self-preservation because some of these people are insane. You never know. But if somebody is tailgating me, I am absolutely going as slow as...
You got the time for it.
Yeah. as it is reasonable to go. I'm not going to be dangerously slow. But if we're on a road that's 45 and you're tailgating me, I'm going 40. Like back up. Don't do that to me. I hate it.
Probably safer than brake checking too.
Yeah, well, every once in a while.
I've never understood that.
Every once in a while, I think about it. But to your point, sure. I'm not trying to have somebody slam into the back.
A claim.
Yeah, now my car is in the shop. Right.
Just be safe. Be careful. Be patient out there. We're all in the same boat. And quite literally could be in a boat as it continues to rain. But we'll do Dom Tiberi 1030. Real Truth coming up in a second. You've got your piping hot college football take that's still marinating.
I'm marinating. It's a sports-wide take.
Okay.
I actually think it's going to fit into thing or not a thing pretty well.
All right. So we might tackle that at the bottom of this hour. But again, right now, as I said.
Bishop and Friends present The Real Truth.
Sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for almost 80 years.
Kyle Whittingham will outlast the next athletic director at Michigan. Is that the real truth?
Ward
Manuel done at the end of 2026. They're looking for a new athletic director right now. Manuel is going to help with that transition for some reason. So they'll have a new AD. They'd like to have one July 1. Kyle Whittingham is entering his first season with the Wolverines. Yes, Michigan is one of our 20 most interesting programs.
Man.
But we'll get into the Wolverines as a football team coming up here in a couple weeks.
He's a 66-year-old man. Hell of a ball coach. Two questions there. Number one, what's your desire to be in it for the long run? Could go 4 years, could go 10 years, right? You just never know. Number two, what does a sport look like 5 years from now? And how adaptable is a 7-year-old man willing to be? So that's the Kyle Whittingham part of it. And then the next thing is, do they actually make a good hire that they don't have to get rid of in a couple years? I'm going to say no for the sake of they're going to hire somebody who isn't a disaster that'll be around for like, I don't know, 7, 8, 9, 10 years.
I'm going to say that that is not the real truth either, because as you mentioned, JP, he's 66 years old. He had been at Utah for 25 years, and I don't think Utah was pushing him out the door, kind of, because they thought the results on the field weren't there, because the results on the field continued to be there for Utah. I think last year, what, they were on their sixth or seventh quarterback? Like, that's not Kyle Whittingham's fault. But maybe they saw, like, he wasn't adapting to the new game as well, or maybe he wasn't putting the time and effort into like he did 10 years previously when he was a younger man. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if I see Kyle Whittingham being at Michigan 5 years, and I think the AD will have plenty of leeway to get through that. So, and also, Michigan football team, it's possible they could be in for a few rough years here. So
I'm glad you brought that point up, because that is a possibility. And I don't think you'll ever see them bottom out with the Kyle Whittingham. I think he's that good of a ball coach. But if you get a whole bunch of 9-3s, 8-4s with an occasional 10-2 regular season, he ain't a Michigan man, right? Like, he's not going to get that benefit of the doubt. I don't know if he...
Get the Chiron treatment?
Well, get the Jim Harbaugh treatment, where they basically did everything they could to put him in a spot, including cheating, to have him successful there. I'm not sure he's going to get that kind of a leash. So if they go through a period that's like average but not great, I don't know. Maybe they see a mutual parting of ways or something of that nature.
And that's the thing. Like, Kyle Whittingham, a damn fine football coach. But yeah, your point about Jim Harbaugh was it felt for years that he wasn't ever going to work out as their head coach.
Just gave him time. Gave him time. So you might have to take a little bit less money, but we'll give you more time.
2026 has been the most difficult summer on record.
Yeah.
Is that the real truth?
It's a hard one because the summers all run together for me. It's hard to like pinpoint. There was one summer I had swine flu, so I would probably put that one. I think it was the same year that Michael Jackson died too. So that was just a rough summer for your boy. But the heat for me, and I'm one of those people, I'm going to complain when it's hot and when it's cold, right? Like, you're going to get both out of me. This heat has been no good. And it's tough telling the kids that you can't go outside because the air sucks and you're going to burn to a crisp if you're out there for more than 15 minutes. So, yeah, this one's been pretty tough. I'll say that's the real truth.
So I'm going to say this is not the real truth. What was it, 3 weeks ago? When we had the 96, 97, feels like 104, 105. I hate that. You guys know my disdain for that. So that was rough. Now, I wasn't here for the smoke inhalation the past week. I was down in Florida, and the Canadian wildfires didn't go that far. So I guess I can't speak on that, but I know it's raining right now, but I think it's been pretty comfortable since I've been back. It's supposed to be pretty comfortable the rest of the week, not too hot. So I don't think that's the real truth.
So Darren in the YouTube chat says last summer sucked bad. And I do think
I can't even remember last
summer. Into July, it wasn't that bad. And then August hit. And so you had the heat dome. You had, Vicar, what you were saying about the 100 degree days, but you've already had the heat dome this summer.
Can you remind me of last summer?
Well, there were Canadian wildfires. Okay. So it was dealing with smoke there, and that's been the last couple of summers.
Okay.
But there wasn't explosive diarrhea problems.
Okay.
There wasn't a conflict in the Middle East.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
There wasn't as the worst.
But we had the World Cup, though.
The worst air quality on record in Columbus was Friday of last week.
Mm.
I hear what you did. I'm just not going to give any.
Okay, all right.
By the way, Reese, I know how you like to string things together.
Red yarn on corkboard's my jam.
2 years in a row with Canadian wildfires. I don't think I ever heard of a Canadian wildfire growing up till the last 2 years.
I don't think it's been as bad until the last decade or so.
I mean, just saying, corkboard here, like, what's going on?
What's sparking these things? Was it humans that were irresponsible, or is this just like, you know, hot and dry and things start sparking?
I mean, we've heard of California wildfires forever, but I don't remember hearing of Canadian ones till recently.
Cardinal says in the YouTube chat, anyone who lived through the blizzard of 78 will take this summer no matter what.
I don't know what to say to that. I'll take your word for it.
From what I hear, I'm sure it was a bad one.
You know, I don't complain about the cold very often though, Reese, so.
It's true. When Kurt Cignetti came out and said, Purdue sucks, Michigan sucks, and so does Ohio State, I laughed it off. And when he said, I win, Google me, I laughed it off because it was Indiana. Another coach in a similar spot is saying something similar. Are we going to laugh off Will Stein? We'll discuss that next. Bishop and Friends on
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Common Man and Timmy are inviting select jabronis to the station for pizza. Hey, that could be you. Email goodcleanboy@gmail.com and tell us why you should be chosen.
Presented by Billiards Plus and sponsored by Paisano Peppers.
The Fan. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
We'll see areas of thunderstorms into the afternoon today. Some of those could be strong with gusty winds, also locally heavy rain possible. Should catch a bit of a break for part of the afternoon before a few more storms may develop for the evening hours. Otherwise, look for highs in the lower 80s. Pretty humid as well. Tonight, clearing skies, mid-60s. Then for tomorrow, mostly sunny and pleasant, highs in the mid-70s. For The Fan, I'm 10 Weather Impact meteorologist Justin Gertz.
Miss a little, miss a lot. Catch Bishop and Friends wherever you get your podcasts. It's free.
Sponsored by Atlas Butler Heating, Cooling, and Plumbing.
The Fan. Connect with the show on X at 971-BFS. Jump in our YouTube chat or just send a raven. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
All right, just real quick before we get to new Kentucky football coach Will Stein. Greg Wyshynski of ESPN, the former Puck Daddy and friend of the program, has big news in local NHL coverage. So I've bemoaned for a long time that the RSN model needs to go the way of the dodo. Because it's the silliest damn thing if you want to get your product in front of more people.
You know,
it's
an RSN guy for some years.
And that's why I'm comfortable
stupid.
Doing this now.
Yeah, I'll tell you right now, seeing it from that side, oh my God, I don't know.
If you want your product to be seen by people, you cannot have barriers.
Oh, it's so bad.
And the RSN model, there were no bigger barriers, and there are no more frustrating barriers. And even baseball is still kind of dealing with this. In some markets, like you can't get the Pittsburgh Pirates in Columbus if you are with some providers.
It's bad.
Because of the blackout markets. But with Greg Wyshynski, the National Hockey League today announced the expansion of NHL production's capability, the NHL production's capabilities to include centralized production for local club broadcasts in this upcoming season. You're going to get the Hurricanes, the Wild, the St. Louis Blues, and the Columbus Blue Jackets. Will be done in a similar way to what the Cleveland Guardians are being done with by Major League Baseball. Mm-hmm. So it's remains to be seen how that's going to be provided to you, the Blue Jackets fans, but it'll no longer be on a FanDuel Sports or a Bally Total Fitness Sports or a Fox Sports Network Sports.
So the one thing that makes me happy about this is that...
Bally Total Fitness got me.
Anytime I can pop Joshua, I'm done. See you guys.
The one thing that makes me happy is so this is going to be a model like what the Reds and the Guardians mm-hmm. have for their TV broadcasts right now. And the one thing that those entities did was they kept their same guys. Like we knew Jody Shelley and Steve Mears weren't going anywhere because they were employees of the team. But hopefully this means, and they probably won't do a pregame because I don't think the Guardians or the Reds do a pregame now, but they do have a little bit of a postgame. So hopefully this means that guys like Dave Metzold and Brian Gieschenschlaw and I think John, I don't know if Jean-Luc
Grandpierre.
I think he's an employee of the team as well, but I'm not sure. But hopefully that means that these guys get to stay a part of the broadcast, because not only are they talented at what they do, they're also all of them awesome dudes.
Yeah, that was the one thing that I saw on that side of it is the content that the RSNs were trying to produce around the game. So like pre-game shows, pregame mm-hmm. shows, post games, all that kind of stuff was really good. They had people who were super familiar with all the teams. It's the best broadcast you can watch because they're not national people who just drop in. They're people who do that team specifically. And so it's great, but it doesn't make money. Like it was a right. bad model if you were trying to find something that could sustain financially. So I think it's a positive thing to get games to people in a way that's sustainable. But to your point, some of the coverage might be a little bit different.
And hopefully it's the same way where the DirecTVs, the Spectrums, you know, those are going to pick up the channel. So if you're a subscriber, you're going to be able to see those just like with the Reds or the Guardians. And of course, there's going to be a pay option where you can pay for the year and you can make sure you have all the games.
There's also some news for the Blue Jackets. They have two players that are in Toronto sometime this week for salary arbitration. Jet Greaves is first up, I believe. Cole Sillinger's.
So Jet Greaves is Thursday, his hearing. Cole Sillinger's, I believe, is next Monday, the 27th.
So this from Elliot Friedman. The arbitration filings are in for Columbus and Jet Greaves. The team comes in at $2.8 million. Jet Greaves coming in at $7.5 million. So that's
a little bit of a gap there.
A large chasm there.
It yeah. seems a wide gap. I understand the Blue Jackets' thoughts because this was really 1 year with Jet. The first year he became the number one. I understand Jet's camp because some statistics, he was top 10 for goalies in the NHL last year. All this tells me is if they don't get a long-term deal before the hearing starts on Thursday, you're going to see Jet playing here next year on a one-year deal for about $4.5 to $5.5 million.
So the SEC Media Days kicked off yesterday. They're today and tomorrow in Tampa. You had Kentucky introducing their new head coach, Will Stein. And I'm just going to play. Does the cut have the question in it, Baker? Or is it just, hey, Will, why do you think you're going to be successful at Kentucky?
The question is not here. Just ask him why he thinks he can win big at Kentucky.
This is going to sound like really, I think because of me, to be honest. I think because of me. I think I know what it takes. I've seen it at the highest levels. I know what it takes to recruit at this level. And you just got to believe, man. You just got to put the ball down and play. There's not really else to be said.
When I saw this and some comments by Eli Drinkwitz making the rounds yesterday. And I thought to myself, that's a crazy thing to say about being the head coach at Kentucky.
Is it?
And then
though?
Baker presented it to me this morning. Didn't Kurt Cignetti do something similar when he was introduced as head coach at Indiana?
So I'll say the difference is Kurt Cignetti did it at IUP, did it at Elon, did it at JMU. So there was a proven track record of going to places that hadn't necessarily won very much in winning. So I could understand Sig doing it. The Will Stein situation, it feels a little bit overconfident because I haven't seen you do this. However, how do you want your coach to feel? And do we value people being honest when they're asked questions? I get into this thing all the time. I think people can say dumb things. I think they can say insane things, but I want them to continue to do it because I want honesty. The other part is it kind of has to be about you. Like if any other guy could come in and do it, then what is your value? So yeah, if you're like, it's me. I know the plan. I know what kind of players we need to get in here. I know how to manage the game weeks. I know how to manage the off season. Tell me that and then go out and do it.
We've talked before about most uber successful people not being liked by everyone. The other thing those uber successful people have is confidence.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have confidence to succeed at the highest levels. And we joke a lot with some of the crazy stuff and wild things that Tyvus says. But that Tyvus got to where he was because he was confident in himself and his abilities. JP, you had to be confident in yourself and your abilities to make it to Ohio State and make it to the National Football League. One of the most beloved speeches ever in Ohio State history is Jim Tressel saying, "You'll be proud of our men in the community and in the classroom, and most importantly, 310 days from now on the field in Ann Arbor, Michigan." That probably a lot of people around the country thought that was a wild statement. Who's this guy from Youngstown State?
Sure.
Coming in here saying he can win at Ohio State. Now, the problem is, if you're going to go public with this, Will Stein, you have to produce.
Go out and do it.
Conor McGregor's awesome when he's out there winning two world titles, but when he's still acting the same way and he's not fighting and he's getting hurt and he's not beating anybody, you got to back it up.
Yeah.
Pretty ambitious for Kentucky early on. So Youngstown State is the opener, but it gets worse week two. They're hosting Alabama, then Texas A&M, and that's just September. In October, LSU, Oklahoma, and then in November, Tennessee, Florida, Missouri. And then they round out the season at Louisville. Now, the Cardinals are going to be one of our 20 most interesting programs.
Yes.
We hope to get some Louisville discussion later on this week. But I don't know if that's a bowl-eligible season in year one. And to your point, Baker, that isn't going to do it, especially if you make those kinds of comments going into your first season.
I don't know about year one, but if, you know, two,
you can fly
years
under the radar, yeah, if you don't say that.
I think you still give him a little grace period, first year head coach, new program.
Agree.
But again, like, you're going to have to produce if you're going to talk like this. And I love it. You got to be confident.
Yes.
But you got to back it up.
And I like when coaches are interesting when they go to media days. The worst thing that you could get out of this whole charade that we put on of making sports a 24/7 thing is when guys are asked questions and they're uninteresting. So I'm here for it from that standpoint. I agree with you. He has to prove it. But if you're going to be the head coach, in particular at a place like Kentucky where basketball is going to be the thing, there's not a huge football legacy. Like, I think you have to be a confident person to want to take that job in the first place.
100%. You've got to have the confidence in yourself knowing that you can go and win there where it hasn't been done before. And it has been in some spots.
No doubt.
They got a couple of seasons where they've been really good, a couple of seasons where they've surprised. And this is very recently. I think with Kentucky, with a lot of the schools in Kentucky's boat, like the Louisville Cardinal we mentioned, a 4- or 5-star player goes to one school, doesn't work out there, hits the transfer portal. If they're able to utilize the transfer portal properly, yep, you can have success almost immediately. You know who did that? One, Kurt Cignetti. I posed the real truth about the summer to you guys in the last segment. In 2 minutes, I'm going to ask Dom Tiberi if this is the most wild summer we've had in Columbus. Again, 2 minutes, Bishop and Friends.
Atlas Butler has convenient 2-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listening, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Cellar, your true jeweler for almost 80 years. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Bishop and Friends present Tuesdays with Tiberi.
Sponsored by CEC Turf and Tractor. Find your next Kubota tractor at CEC Turf and Tractor. Visit online at cecturfandtractor.com.
All right, Dom, I'm just going to read off what happened in the last week. Wildfire smoke from Canada, lettuce that's causing explosive diarrhea, heat domes in the Midwest, and now today and on Saturday, torrential rain. Do you remember a summer that's been any wilder than this?
You know, this is unprecedented. I looked, you know, I got up the other day. I was driving home, and I said, man, what is all that fog? And then I realized it was the smoke. You could smell it. Then the next day, you get up, and you're like, and, you know, I was going to go golf, and I said, I don't think I should golf in this stuff. And it's absolutely insane. And you're right. I mean, this has been the weirdest summer that I can remember. And but you know what? Welcome to Ohio, right? Every 5 minutes, the weather's going to change. And, you know, we're going to have what? Now they're saying, you know, we're going to have cool days the next 3 days, and then the heat and all that will be back the next few. So it's it has been goofy. But, yeah, I want to thank our friends of the north in Canada for all the smoke. It's been very nice, hasn't it?
No, it has not, unfortunately. But you mentioned, Dom, that you had to cancel a tee time, but it sounds like you've maybe been golfing a little bit and some of your downtime now. What other activities are we getting into? You know, for a decade now, Dom, you've been inviting me over for a nice big Italian dinner. Have not made that happen. Have you been cooking? What are we up to?
I'm doing a little bit of all that. I'm doing a lot of honeydew. By the way, today, and let me just do this, 36 years ago today, Terry Tiberi married me. Today's our wedding anniversary.
Oh, wow.
And we'll be going out, but I definitely outkick my coverage. She's put up with me for 36 years, and she's tougher than me. I will say this right now, guys. Women are tougher than men. And, you know, if it was up to us to have babies, the human race would go extinct. But it's great that, you know, we get to celebrate it, and we're going to go out. We're going to go to a little place called The Avenue, Joshua.
Oh, yeah.
You ever been there?
Absolutely. Yeah,
they got the best hash browns there are.
They got the best martinis, too.
Well, I mean, you know, why not? You know?
So, Dom, first of all, happy anniversary to you and Terry. I'm sure it's been a much rougher ride for her dealing with you than the other way around. But, Dev, what's the situation with your Twitter? Have you got your handle back? Do we have a new one? Because I know you love getting on Twitter and arguing with Michigan fans, and this is a perfect time to be doing it.
I'm still trying to figure it out. Let me tell you something. Twitter, X, whatever it is, and I don't know how it happened. I had double authentication, but I got up one morning and I went to get on it, and it was a mess. And it was taken over, and the language was all in a language I couldn't even speak. And so we at least got whoever had it off it. But I keep trying to get in, and I can't get in because, and you can't talk to anyone. and the password I had, he changed it somehow, and my password doesn't work. So I'm probably going to have to start a new one. I don't know. I don't know if I will. I just they did not have much help. There was really no help from anyone at Twitter or X or whatever it is. I tried to call Elon, but he didn't answer.
All right. So I know you used to post your AI renderings on Twitter. Are you still messing, tinkering around with the AI machine?
Go to Facebook. I was hanging with a Bigfoot the other day. I'm so happy they taught me. I'm sure the folks at work are saying, why did we teach this guy how to do AI? He's putting his grandkids and himself with Bigfoot, Santa Claus. They're all into the. Have you guys ever heard of this guy, Freddy Fazbear or whatever, Five Nights at Freddy's? Reeser, that's probably a movie you've seen, right?
I've not seen it. I know what you're talking about. So the big, like the Chuck E. Cheese animatronic creatures, I think kill people in the movie, right?
Well, I guess that's what it's about. My 7-year-old grandson, who's going to be 8, knows all about it. He has not seen it. But I guess they talk about it or whatever. And I'm like, what? There was a book at the Sam's Club the other day. Papa Dom, can I get this? And I'm looking at it. It says, you got to be 12. No, you can't get it.
I think Five Nights at Freddy's not something the kids should be watching.
I don't think so. But what is it? Chuck E. Cheese or whatever?
Something for the kids, but not the movie on the thing where the robots get. I mean, the robots are creepy and they've always been creepy, but not the movie that they're killing people in. I did want to ask Dom, how many times do you think you've invited Joshua over? And he said no every time. What the heck?
The guy was playing pro football and he was doing a lot of stuff. He's all over the country. This guy is let me tell you something. The fact you got him on this show is amazing. This guy's a movie star. Are you kidding me?
Movie star.
Lucky to have him.
Bigger than Joshua Perry.
Movie
Goodness
star.
Gracious. He goes to Lewis Center. They have a parade.
Okay. All right. Let's calm down on that. We're going to make it happen because my wife, Madison, and I know you love Maddie, but she has been pestering me now that you're semi-retired that we got to go over to Dom's and we got to enjoy some food.
Yeah, come on over. We'll make you pizza and we'll reminisce. And I heard you guys talking about here's my take on this Michigan thing, okay? And this is what I want to say. And to you Michigan fans out there, listen, I'm sorry, but you got caught with your hand in the cookie jar. And, you know, the old saying goes, Joshua, if you're not cheating, you're not trying. They took it to a different level. And then some of the other things that happened was another level. To me, they got their hands smacked. They could have been a heck of a lot worse. There's a big difference, though, in my opinion, with the way Ohio State handled itself in the past and what we witnessed out of Michigan. Ohio State, you know, always, you know, took their mea culpa. You know, you saw what happened, the way they did it. These guys, whatever, you know, and it's whatever. And we can complain and say and whatever. But at the end of the day, you know, they're going to be who they are. Ohio State's going to be who they are. And, you know, there's always going to be a dislike. And I hate to see some of the stuff that happened because some of the stuff that happened was just absolutely ridiculous. And it was a lack of institutional control. If you talk to some of the people, and Joshua, I know you have too. You've talked to some of the players and stuff that were up there. They're embarrassed by what happened. And they said that the university knew, some of the people knew what was going on with Sharon Moore and all that. But you know what? It's the world we live in now, boys. And they're going to play the game every year. They're, you know, if you want them to walk around with a hat on their head saying we cheated, that's not going to happen. We can wish for it. We can say it. But you know what? It gives us fodder on the radio to talk about. But at the end of the day, we're still going to play them in November, and it's going to still be the biggest game of the year.
Dom, I don't know how much you were paying attention to SEC Media Days yesterday, but Greg Sankey still saying that the SEC is the best conference. The stadium attendance tells us that so. Eli Drinkwitz says that the Big Ten has won 3 straight national championships because their schedules are easier and they don't have to play a Power 4 team outside of conference. And The SEC is regretting going to 9 games in conference. What did you think of the SEC whining yesterday?
Well, they're going to keep whining because at the end of the day, everybody now is on a level playing field. And back in the days when, you know, the SEC had the advantage, I mean, Nick Saban said it best the other day, or when he said it, that, you know, the only way a guy from the South will go north is if you're paying him. But they are paying him now. And, you know, I hate to say it, but I think that, you know, the bottom line is this. The SEC, his best days are over. I think the Big Ten is eventually going to be the power conference. I think when we hear about the super conference that's coming, I do believe it's going to be the Big Ten. And I can see schools, I can see the Big Ten poaching schools like Texas. If I'm Texas, do I want to be in the SEC or do I want to be in the Big Ten? If I'm Oklahoma, why would I not want to come to the Big Ten? And I think eventually that you're going to see the Big Ten become a super conference. You know, Gene Smith used to talk about how we might see a super conference. I think the Big Ten is well on its way. For the detractors Tony Petitti has, I give him credit because this conference now goes from one end of the country to the other. And I do believe the Big Ten will end up being the super conference. And I do believe we're going to see a 2014 playoff. I do believe these stupid conference championships are going to go away. And, you know, whether we like it or not, I'm not a fan of everything that's going on. I wish we could go back to the days of Woody Hayes, but those days are gone. The players are going to get paid, and this is the world we live in.
Now, the one thing we do know is more change will be afoot in college athletics. Dom, thanks so much for the time this morning. Enjoy the hash browns tonight. Congratulations on a wonderful anniversary to you and the missus, and we'll catch up next week. All right, bud?
And they have a great steak there, too. I can't wait to get my steak, but yeah. And we'll see you guys next week. Goodbye.
And he joins us courtesy of the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems fan guest hotline, the one and only Dom Tiberi. So plenty of SEC coaches from SEC Media Day on a pretty jam-packed edition of Thing or Not a Thing coming up next. Bishop and Friends.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Ben and Timmy.
I'm getting thicker and fuller.
We have to even it out.
Yeah, but
right? I'm getting much more attractive. You're getting much uglier.
Common Man and Timmy, afternoons on the Fan. It's sponsored by the Hinderer Motor Company. The Fan Poll is sponsored by JT's Pizza and Pub, home of award-winning pizza and $2 tall boys. All day, every day.
10 feet tall and bulletproof isn't just a saying, it's a way of life. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
All right, because we have 20 most interesting coming up in the 11 o'clock hour, we'll center on the Notre Dame Fighting Irish, and Brian Driscoll will be our guest at 11:30. He's the owner and operator of IrishBreakdown.com and the Irish Breakdown podcast. Thing or not a thing might just be one big thing. And that's what Joshua Perry's been sitting on for the last 90 minutes or so in regards to college athletics. So yeah. Before I let you go, we just got to pay off on the one thing.
Thing or not a thing.
Sponsored by Billiards Plus. Find your next grill and everything you need for the master griller. Billiards Plus on Dublin Center Drive in Dublin.
Now to you.
All right. So this actually came off of one of the things that was in the show sheet, the second thing. Alejandro Dominguez, who's the president of South American Soccer and FIFA VP, was talking about the 100th World Cup in 2030 and said that they're working to ensure that the 2030 World Cup is held with 64 national teams. Okay. And so it's this idea of sports and these big ass bloated tournaments. And I feel like in real time, the veil is being lifted back on what we're doing here. And it's not to crown the best champion or the most deserving champion or any of that. It's to put more games on television. And it's really starting to bother me as somebody who feels like winning is the most important thing in sports. We just keep adding and adding and adding and diluting what the tournament feel should be, what a postseason feel should be. That's my hot take.
Tony Petitti was the first one to change really how we discussed actual football games. Content inventory were the two things that he called them.
Right.
And it seemed weird then. Then it seemed gross. And now it just seems like the way of the world. Mm-hmm. Is where you don't look at these things as a contest between two teams to see who's the better. You look at it as an event, or you look at it as a spectacle that is designed to create ad revenue.
And now you've got the NCAA tournament adding teams. The bracket's going to look uglier when you print it off and fill it out, right? Like, it to me, I feel like we're losing the plot a little bit. We're after the dollars, which I understand are important, but at what expense?
It's kind of a miracle that it took us this long to get here with all of this stuff, because you mentioned the NCAA tournament, and the NCAA tournament has had so much success for so long. And I've always said the NCAA basketball tournament is maybe the most exciting way to crown a champion, but it's also probably the worst way to crown a true champion. Sometimes you get the best team in college basketball that wins the NCAA tournament, but that's not always the the best way to crown a champion is a 7-game series. Now obviously you can't do something like that in football. I also think in the NCAA tournament, with the basketball tournament, the rosters are so small that it's easier to have a bunch of teams that could win the thing.
Mm-hmm.
In football, I'll still argue that there's only a handful of teams years that are good enough to win. So you're right. As we dilute and add things, maybe it could be more exciting. Maybe you're going to get a big upset here or there. You may not always get the best champion, the best team. And don't ever lie to us about, oh, we're doing it for this reason or that reason. We know the reason. It's all and it's always about money.
I have said, and I'll maintain, that over the last two seasons, the best team in college football has won the national championship.
I tend to agree with that.
Like, I understand Ohio State and their loss to Michigan and their loss to Oregon.
Right. So I guess let me push back on the Ohio State one.
It's very valid.
I think the best roster
in
college football. I think in terms of the best team, like, the results that happen through the regular season have to factor into this idea of best team. Like, they were the team that peaked at the right time. They were the best roster that year. But we played all those other games in this idea of trying to figure out who some of the best were. And if you lost those two games in any other year before that, you don't get to be in that conversation of teams that are viable for a championship. So I think it's made us maybe even consider differently how we look at the best teams in college football, considering who can make it and then what happens when you make a run, and then how you litigate all of that in your head. But I don't know. There's something to me about this idea of, if we get a talented team like Ohio State in there, regardless of what the outcome is, we know that we're probably going to get a game that's going to do a huge number, and that's what they're after, period.
Yeah. Do you have the Josh Heupel sound ready, Baker?
I sure do.
So Tennessee hosts LSU November 21st. It'll be the first time back to Knoxville for Lane Kiffin as the head coach of the Tigers. At SEC Media Days Monday, Josh Heupel, Tennessee's head coach, was asked how he thinks fans will welcome Lane back to Neyland Stadium.
Certainly hope our fan base hasn't cooled off. So whether it's the grocery stores being fully stocked with mustard, or you know, our sports stores making sure that they got reinforcements on the golf balls. Hopefully, Knoxville's ready for his arrival.
Thing or not a thing?
I guess it's a little bit of a thing. That to me, though, it just feels like it was so long ago. You know, to have
you
any
think
type
of the football
of,
lives he's had.
Yes.
And the football lives that Tennessee fans have lived through.
But that's the problem with Tennessee is they look at so many eras of, like, what could have been, and maybe if Lane Kiffin and how he left, I'm sure they're still a little bit bothered by, but if he was here and, you know, kind of could have done his thing. I don't know. I'm here for it. I like the pettiness, but it also feels like a different lifetime.
So when I first heard this, I was like, was there something with Lane Kiffin and mustard? Like, does Lane Kiffin not like mustard? Or was there something with Lane Kiffin and golf balls? Or is he advocating fans throwing golf balls at Lane Kiffin? Because I enjoy some pettiness, but that's a little stretch too far. Well, like, if we're doing something like that. Also, maybe Tennessee should worry about beating LSU at home. Now, they've only played three times since then at Neyland Stadium, but Tennessee hasn't beaten LSU at home since 2001. So maybe let's worry about beating LSU on the field first. And I understand Heupel was responding to a question. Also, we talk about how difficult the SEC is in their schedule. Tennessee and LSU, since 2001, have played a total of eight times, it looks like. Oh, no, seven times, excuse me. Seven times they've played. So let's not act like you're getting the best of the best every year in the SEC, because Tennessee and LSU aren't playing each other very often. So
it's a good point out of you.
I'll give you a minute here, and then we'll respond in the break. But Eli Drinkwitz is the head coach at Missouri, and he was asked about the Big Ten's dominance, winning the last three national championships. And so Eli Drinkwitz had a big, long word salad of a reason or of an explanation. Decisions by Big Ten's leadership relative to bad decisions made by the SEC, says cycles in college football, which I think is valid. Then he throws in the comment that he knows is going to be the one that gets aggregated. Obviously, when you don't play an A4 game as one of your non-conference games, and that was the quote you're looking for, it's pretty obvious, end quote, thing or not a thing.
I think it's a thing that he said it. Here's the reality of the situation. You got to beat the best to be the best. So certainly I do think that there are arguments to be made playing that schedule a little bit harder. At the same time, if you're that good, you don't care. Like, Kirby's not that I've heard, but he's not banging this drum right now.
No.
You know what I'm saying? Like, this is something that you do when you know you're mid. And I think you should just live in that for a second and see how that feels.
Will Stein doesn't seem to care. We just played his comments. And I think Eli Drinkwitz is a really good football coach.
Good ball coach.
I think what he's done at Missouri here is pretty impressive. I don't know what Missouri's ceiling is, but I think he's probably got him right there the past few years. They've had some impressive teams. Just go play ball. Quit whining and go play ball. Like, JP, you and I were talking about this yesterday. I remember growing up, and I didn't play ball anywhere at your kind of level. I always wanted to play the best. I always wanted to see if I could beat the best players around me, or the older kids in the neighborhood, or whatever it was. Just go play.
Our 20 Most Interesting Program series continues. We'll head to South Bend coming up next for the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. It's Bishop and Friends.
Atlas Butler has convenient 2-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listening, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Broadcasting live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios, driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good morning, I'm Eric Reeser. The NHL will go to 84 games this upcoming season. First time since the 93-94 campaign, teams will play more than 82. You'll be able to hear all Blue Jackets hockey games right here on The Fan. But the NHL is going to take over broadcast operations for the upcoming season on the television side. League will also take over game production duties for the Hurricanes, Wild, and the Blues. Jackets will open the preseason Monday, September 21st, hosting the Detroit Red Wings. In baseball Tuesday, Guardians look to make it two straight on the Twins. Cleveland hosts Minnesota tonight at 6:40. Guardians hit 7 home runs on Monday in a 13-4 rout of the Twins. That ties a record for most dingers hit in a single home game in franchise history. As for the Reds, Cincinnati was shut out last night in Seattle 8-0. Redlegs and Mariners go tonight at 9:40. You can hear that game on The Fan following the Buckeye Show. This update is sponsored by BMI Federal Credit Union. Take a vacation from high interest rates with special rates on balance transfers at BMI Federal Credit Union. BMIFCU.org/consolidate.
The perfect show for quarter zips and khaki shorts. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
Yes, you are. Joshua Perry in with Baker and myself on this Tuesday.
It's the three of us rolling all week, and then Bo rolls back in from Montana next Monday. If you heard there in the update that the Blue Jackets television operations are going to be taken over by NHL Productions, so if you're wondering what the heck will that look like, I would say similar to what the Guardians and the Reds have with MLB TV, is they're going to offer some sort of service that gives you access to Blue Jackets games, all 84 of them this upcoming season, which I think is much better than how they've been doing it in the past with that RSN model that I wanted to go straight to hell. And it looks like it did, because it's poorly managed and it's a dumb idea. You want eyeballs on your product, you need to make your product available.
Bally's Total Fitness.
Bally's Total Fitness Sports was the dumbest thing, both from a branding and an a standpoint of our sport's not being talked about much. So we're not going to have it easily accessible to everybody who might want to watch it. I do think what the NHL could do, and a lot of details still need to be, you know, finalized on who's going to be presenting Blue Jackets hockey on NHL TV. So we'll have news once that does come out. But if you want to really make, I think, a dent in, I don't know if you can ever make the kind of money that other leagues are making for the NHL, but if you want to be accessible, figure out how you can get on Rabbit Ears.
Mm.
Figure out if you still want to party with Sinclair. And I understand if you might not want to, but there are other viable options in this market that have a 10.1, a 10.2, a 10.3, a 4.3. Like, become available to more people. More people will be interested in your product,
it's,
I think.
It's just so interesting to me how this world has evolved from Rabbit Ears to cable to the cable bundles and all of the packages, digital cable, and then to streaming, and then back to people wanting to unbundle the bundle, and finally we are back to,
well,
if you want to get this thing on Rabbit Ears, that would be great.
So, Reese, one of the things with the Rabbit Ears, and I don't know how this would all go, but I know from talking to people around here, because of the affiliation with the network, you could never do it. Here, at least. Now, I don't know, like you mentioned, other places. I don't know what their affiliation agreements are with their networks, but that might be your one problem with Rabbit Ears, because I don't know if there's a local TV channel that's on Rabbit Ears that isn't really affiliated with a network and what those network requirements are.
So I brought up Sinclair because last season they had several games available. And if it's already been done, then I think there are always going to be hurdles or red tape or however you want to phrase it. But if it's been done before, I think you can do it again. Obviously, you got to figure those out. Adults get in the room and try to figure that out at a bigger scale. You're seeing it with WNBA teams. You're seeing it with other NHL teams that are being available to local markets. It was the artist formerly known as the Phoenix Coyotes. The Indiana Fever have arguably the biggest women's superstar on the planet, and they figured out a way to get it available for Rabbit Ears.
Mm-hmm.
It's there. The precedent's been set. I think for the Blue Jackets, it would be a step in the right direction, another step taken after the death of the RSNs. But for the 11 o'clock segment that we do here until we are at Ohio State's training camp on August 6th and 7th, or 5th, 6th, and 7th, I want to say, 11 o'clock, 20 most interesting college football programs has us in South Bend.
We'll expand conferences, we'll expand the playoffs, but we'll never, ever expand our interests. Bishop and Friends present the 20 most interesting programs.
The extra handsome Marcus Freeman entering his sixth season, I guess fifth full-time season in South Bend with the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. Joshua, is this the year where you say win it all?
I think it has to be if you're just looking at what they have returning, what they added through the portal, and they ain't playing anybody until they get to the postseason. Well, they'll be the freshest team in America based off of that schedule there. So I know people in South Bend are very confident. We've been there before with them, so that's not necessarily anything new. I think people nationally believe in Notre Dame's ability to win a title in the new era, where a lot of national folks were like, I don't know if they'll do it again because they haven't done it in so long.
And that was why I kind of asked that question about, is this the year? Because I would look at this Notre Dame team and say, well, they're really good on paper. 2024, they were in the game.
Mm-hmm.
And then last year, I would think that would have been the year. You're going to win it. You're going to win it all this year. But the Irish last season, 10-2, and decided to take their ball and not go to the Pop-Tarts Bowl.
Sure, which I think it's a little bit of a weak move, but I don't necessarily blame them.
It was just so weak.
Okay, so it was weak, but I think if I was you put yourself, and now I'm going to sound like I work for NBC for a second.
But you do.
I do.
Okay.
All right. So from the standpoint of what the ACC did, as somebody who is like a partner to Notre Dame and in the anti-Notre Dame politicking, I thought was actually a little bit insane. And I feel like it's not a way to treat somebody you do business with. But that was they were in self-preservation mode because they knew their conference champ was not getting in. So they had to promote Miami.
Sure.
I get that aspect of it. So you kind of put that there off to the side. The other thing that bothered me about that, and I think bothered Notre Dame, is everybody's pointing at them in Miami. And those two teams played, and obviously Miami won the regular season. Nobody was pointing hard enough at Alabama. And I think that was part of it, too. It's like, so y'all are pitting us against one another. Alabama's sitting over here looking as phony as anybody else, and you're just going to let them in there.
I do think Alabama got the conference championship game bump.
Which was crazy, because it ain't look good.
I think they also got the SEC, got the shaft the year before, if you want to call it that. And, you know, it could just be that was the way it should be, but the SEC wasn't happy that they only got three teams in the year before. Which, that wasn't going to happen again last year.
Whatever. I think there was also a lot of people who make decisions for the sport.
I was about to say, I'm going to red yarn this. And every year, I think either the week before the final CFP reveal or 2 weeks before, they pick a team and they say they're getting it.
Well, I think they were too weak to say that conference championships are less valuable in this era. And I don't think they wanted to ever punish a team from the Big Ten or SEC that made it to a conference title game. And so they're like, they're just going to be in. And now all the discussion we've been having all offseason is about how these games don't matter if we're going to move to more teams anyway. So they're weak leaders to begin with. But Notre Dame ended up in the middle of this whole thing of like Miami versus Notre Dame, but nobody's talking about Alabama. I might have gotten my ball and left too.
It was so interesting and crazy hearing ACC Commissioner Jim Phillips back in the spring stumping for Notre Dame when you clearly did not stump for Notre Dame. You stumped to get your conference in because your conference champion wasn't good enough to make it in. So you're stumping for Miami to get in, so you've still got that ACC money over Notre Dame. Do I think Notre Dame probably got a little screwed last year? Yeah, but win your games. You had two big games on your schedule, and you lost them both. I understand they were early in the year. This is one of those things for Notre Dame this year, JP.
Yeah.
This schedule,
you've got to run the table.
They have to be 11-1 or 12-0. They have to be, but
that one's going to have to be real convincing.
I don't know. I honestly don't know who they should lose to outside of potentially Miami.
Potentially Miami. But here's the thing. Are they going to be fool's gold? Are they going to be good enough when they get in? That's what I'm just not sure about.
This is where you had it, Baker, in the prep, where Notre Dame coming in leading all of FBS with 72% of its total production returning in 2026. And I wonder, was Jeremiah Love 28%?
He might have been.
Is that math not right?
Well, between 24 and Jadarian Price.
That's
what
I was going to say. Between him and Jadarian Price, like that was,
because that for me is that Notre Dame team last year had Jeremiah Love. This Notre Dame team does not have Jeremiah Love, and they've had to go into the portal for a lot of the talent that they hope CJ Carr can take the next step with.
Mm-hmm.
And to have the kind of security blanket and Love you do not have this year, can you reasonably ask the quarterback to take the next step?
Yeah. Yes. And I think he's ready to. It was interesting to me watching the development from the early season to the end. One of the things that does worry me about him is he only threw picks when they played the best defenses on the schedule. Right. So like he's got to become a little bit more confident when he's got some of that heat coming toward him.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they were in the spot that they wanted to be in where they could have a developmental quarterback in the program because they had been a portal team for the quarterback the last couple years. And so I think they like the idea now of somebody who's been around for a few years.
However you want to argue about what Notre Dame should have been or what has been, I do think we can all agree that Marcus Freeman has done a hell of a job with this team, considering the situation that he took the job, but it wasn't left in the best hands.
Well,
it was left in good hands after not being taken care of by one Brian Kelly during his tenure in South Bend. We will hit the categories on the Fighting Irish coming up next. It's Bishop and Friends.
Atlas Butler has convenient 2-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service because nobody likes waiting around. You listen in, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
call 1-800-FURNACE.
Best way to make sure you don't miss any of your favorite fan shows?
Oh, no.
Download the Fan app, silly.
God damn it, I knew that.
App Store, Google Play, or just scream right at your phone. Psst, you can also listen to Buckeye Games. Do it now. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
We'll see areas of thunderstorms into the afternoon today. Some of those could be strong with gusty winds, also locally heavy rain possible. Should catch a bit of a break for part of the afternoon before a few more storms may develop for the evening hours. Otherwise, look for highs in the lower 80s, pretty humid as well. Tonight, clearing skies, mid-60s. Then for tomorrow, mostly sunny and pleasant, highs in the mid-70s. For The Fan, I'm 10 Weather Impact meteorologist Justin Gertz.
Miss a little, miss a lot. Catch Bishop and Friends wherever you get your podcasts. It's free.
Sponsored by Atlas Butler Heating, Cooling, and Plumbing.
The Fan. The best facial hair on the air. This is Bishop and Friends.
All right, so this is one of those moments where what we do in the break has to make its way to the air because we're looking at Notre Dame, and they're our 20 most interesting program today. We're going to go and talk to Brian Driscoll at 11:30. He's the owner of IrishBreakdown.com and the Irish Breakdown podcast. But Baker was looking up who previously coached for Marcus Freeman, or who coached Notre Dame before Marcus Freeman, Brian Kelly. And Brian Kelly was at Notre Dame for 11 seasons and won a ton of football games. He also won a bunch of football games at LSU. I think he didn't win any games that were meaningful, and we just hate Brian Kelly. I think is what clouds a lot of judgment here. And I think the hate's deserved for Brian Kelly, because that guy stinks.
Yeah, well, no. I mean, like, it is deserved.
He won a ton of football games.
Yeah, we don't have to talk about the, you know, the windy day at practice and, like, all that kind of stuff. And, like, he was a little testy in the media sometimes. Like, he's not a likable coach, but the guy could coach some ball, to be clear.
He's gotten the chances.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, his record at Notre Dame was not terrible. I mean, a 74% winning percentage. I think it's just there are certain expectations with Notre Dame, almost like a Penn State, that are they realistic expectations now? Like, I am one, JP, that I believe Penn State is going to regret getting rid of James Franklin, because I don't know if Penn State is a national championship type team.
They might have hired the same guy too.
I think they did. I think they maybe hired a discount store version of him.
Just a different font of James Franklin.
But yeah, it's just interesting. Like, we have such a bad taste in our mouth for Brian Kelly, and Brian Kelly and LSU just always seem like oil and water. But he didn't do a terrible job at Notre Dame.
No.
For Marcus Freeman going into year 5 in South Bend, 43-11, 43-12. I don't want to put that 2022 Fiesta Bowl loss against him, because
it happened.
It did happen. The aforementioned Brian Kelly was out the door to LSU, to his new family. And you had the situation where Marcus Freeman takes over. And I think he's done a really good job. But we'll see what Baker, we'll see what Joshua Perry think on the grades of Notre Dame's head coach. We'll hit the categories on the Irish. So
I know you're liking this.
I love most college football fight songs. I do not love this one. This one's right there with Hail to the Victors for me.
Why?
I've never associated Notre Dame or Michigan as something I'm a fan of. I've always disliked Notre Dame, and that's growing up.
Fair enough.
Right? So it's just because of my biases. Like, I've never played as Notre Dame or as Michigan in the college football game. I never played as those schools. Didn't like them. When I was Pittsburgh, I would always crush Notre Dame, or always try to crush Notre Dame in the regular season. And I don't have a particular reason to, as I'm a 36-year-old man,
right,
dislike Notre Dame. They've done nothing wrong, in my opinion. Not really. The school's fine.
Yeah.
They have this inflated perception, and it's
they
you're
do.
Gonna say, you're gonna
but
say
this is
rich.
What people say
you're
about
say
us.
It's rich coming from an Ohio State
this is
fan.
What people
an inflated
say about
perception
us.
Of what your team is.
Here's the difference, though, and I understand the Ohio State fan, Notre Dame fan, you know, flip one or the other. They haven't won a national title since 1988.
I know.
And they feel like
I know
they deserve it every year.
But
Ohio State has won 3.
I will say that being a blue blood is something that you are born into. This is not something that you can go out and buy. It's not something that you can create. No, we lost the music there. Don't mind that. You are born into it. And so as a part of that,
I swear I didn't kill it.
We've all met rich kid dweebs that were born into families and haven't really done much, but it is what it is. And you're going to talk about it because it is what it is.
All right, without the music.
We do have some Notre Dame fans here. You are not rich kid dweeb.
I'm talking about Cole.
We love you both.
Actual kids that are rich in dweebs in the real world, not Notre Dame fans.
See, this is a really bad look out of us because I talked about my disdain for Notre Dame.
I know, and then you cut the song.
And then the music died. Can you, on your end, Baker, play the Notre Dame fight song while we do the categories? I don't want to see that there's any more bias than I already did. Like, I dug myself into such a hole there, Joshua.
Yeah, it's fine.
And then we've just, you know,
there's no music.
Slid into it.
Did our Zetas die because it's not working?
Here's what we'll do. I will give my grade and then I'll go
you don't have to, nor should you.
My mic down for it. All right. So college football 2026 adaptability grade for the Notre Dame Fighting Irish, Joshua.
It feels like an A+ here.
Yeah.
They have done a good job in the portal. And for all the schools that are like, oh, our academics standards are so high and we can't get kids in, Notre Dame's figured out a way to get good football players in that can also go to class and pass. So, like, credit to them for that. They got the NIL funds working in the right direction. They just did some facilities upgrades. I mean, their football facility, very nice, historic locker room, great stadium, whole deal. They just did a new dining hall that looks beautiful. So they're doing all the things that you should be doing in this era to be successful.
Yeah, I think this is an A for no, and I think there's going to be a lot of A's here with Notre Dame. But it just seems like they are, not that they ever weren't totally bought in, but it just seems like with Marcus Freeman leading things, they are 1,000% truly bought in.
The discussion about the academics has always been there, and it's even, I think it was even Mylon Graham. When he had his first availability with Irish media, talked about it. But it's a real thing.
Right.
And so kudos to them for playing to their strengths, but also being adaptable to what college football is now, where they're consistently getting or in the conversation of the college football playoff. And two seasons ago, played for a national championship. So this is an A. Their uniform grade, Joshua.
All right. So uniform for me, if we're going just there we go.
Thank you. It was getting really bad there for me for a second.
We're back.
If we're going just traditional unis, it's going to be an A+. If we factor in some of the ugly alternates that we have to throw in there, it's going to drop to an A- or a B+. I think a school like Notre Dame should never do that. It's not necessary. Roll out with your traditional uniforms. We got a brand grade in there as well. Got to give them an A for that. We know what it is. It's historic. It's cool for kids to want to go there. And then we mentioned the academic aspect of it, but that's a part of their pitch too, and the brand of the network and the degree. So they got it all going on.
So the brand grade is an A. Again, especially right now with Marcus Freeman, everything is, and it's always been an A with the brand. The uniform, if we're just going traditional, like, it's an A. Like, it's one of those all-time classic college football uniforms. I think they need to go with that shiny gold helmet at all times. Mm. Like, just reflects everything off of it. The uniform, though, is just pretty basic. So if it wasn't for the tradition, it'd probably be like a B, maybe a C+. Yeah. But I think you got to give it an A for everything that it stands for.
Yeah, this is an A across the board. Their alternates have been bad. They might have some of the worst college football alternates in the history of college football alternate uniforms.
I hate it when they wear the green jerseys. It just doesn't. They make so much money off that green, though.
And
they think the greens are cursed. By the way,
well, they haven't won a major. I mean,
that's the thing. They like, don't. They actually are scared
greens is terrible
to wear them, yeah. But they wear them. Yeah.
I do this with the with the brand, because the brand speaks to high schoolers, and I go, are there five schools that are right now doing the college football thing better than Notre Dame? I don't know if I can name five, so they're an A for me. Quickly move through these. Historical player you'd like to have on this Notre Dame roster?
Give me Tim Brown. It's been one of the things I think that's held them back, is like an elite wide receiver, but All-American guy, won a Heisman, all-purpose assassin. Like, give me him on this team.
So I think the right answer might be the guy that just became a first-round pick going to the Arizona Cardinals. The right answer might be Jeremiah Love, but I'm going to give some respect to the old school Notre Dame running backs. I'm going to go Ricky Waters. Give me Ricky Waters on this team.
I would say Jeremiah Love. I know they went to the portal and got a bunch of skill position players, but Manti Te'o was a Heisman finalist. Like, I know we laugh about everything that happened with him off the field.
That feels like, I know Manti played with him. He's a great guy. It feels like there was a little bit of narrative in that Heisman.
I mean, look.
Run there.
What happened with him off the field is going to rub some people the wrong way.
Because if you look at the stats.
Yes, the numbers.
They're good linebackers.
They got really good linebackers right now.
But they're not elite stats. So
would Notre Dame get an official visit from Vince Howard?
See, I haven't seen the show, so
have you done any of the material?
So I don't know how good the guy is. Like, is Notre Dame inviting him is the question.
Yes, Notre Dame's inviting him.
Okay.
I'll say this. No, they would not get an invite because you'd be doing too many other schools to go to Notre Dame.
He'd absolutely.
They'd want
be
him.
There.
They would want him. Would coach grade for Marcus Freeman?
I'm somewhere between a B plus and an A minus right now. You have the national title appearance. You cannot discount that. He's had some ugly losses, and I know he's a young coach still, but that has to factor in. Got him on the right trajectory. He's doing everything right. Players absolutely love him, so it's probably more toward A minus, but there have been a couple slip-ups.
I think with those ugly losses, you could go in the B plus range, but I think this is an A minus, and I think it's teetering on going up to an A.
Yeah, A minus right now is what I'm going to give him. Sliding door moment in Irish football history.
It's BK leaving. It's Brian Kelly leaving that program the way that he did. I feel like that was a galvanizing point. It got alums back on. It got boosters back in there, and it's given them Marcus Freeman, who's got them on the path that we think is the right path.
I feel like they've had a couple of these moments throughout their history, like Ara Parseja leaving, then they wasn't great. Then Lou Holtz came in and he got it back, and then it was kind of down. I'm kind of agreeing with you, though. It's the hiring. I think it's the hiring of Marcus Freeman, because they could have went another way. They could have went Luke if he, if wasn't for that. There were multiple things, but the players said, we want Marcus, and they listened, and I think that's huge.
I was wondering this morning what would have happened had they won the Bush push game. Had that play been called back, Reggie Bush out of the ends, because it's USC, it's Texas in that national championship game. Obviously, the whole thing's been vacated, but the Longhorns win that game. I just wonder, would Notre Dame be in contention for an opportunity to play in that national championship game if they beat USC the middle of that season in Los Angeles? Win it all, flame out too soon, make the playoff for Notre Dame.
I think the expectations win it all.
Same.
I mean, that's where we're at with them right now.
Yeah, I think they're in that group.
Brian Driscoll covers the Irish for IrishBreakdown.com and the Irish Breakdown podcast. He'll join us in 2 minutes. Bishop and Friends on
Atlas Butler has convenient 2-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listen in BMB, nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for almost 80 years. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
The Friends are the guests and listeners. Reza and Baker just work here.
Back to work. Back to work. Everybody. Work, 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 work. Work, work.
You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
Yes, you are. Joshua Perry, Ryan Baker, Eric Reese are rolling with you on a Tuesday. We're efforting Brian Driscoll. He operates IrishBreakdown.com and the Irish Breakdown podcast. And Joshua, I cannot imagine what his forum must have looked like when Notre Dame was left out of the college football playoff. You want to talk about vitriol?
Yeah, well, I think when they were left out, it was probably like pitchforks raised. And then when they said, you know what, we're just not going to participate in the postseason, I bet there was just, they were taking a victory lap on dunking on college football.
And I'd imagine, for fan short for fanatic, there's probably some in the fan base that look to Marcus Freeman, in his going into his fifth full season and saying, if this happens or if we lose a game or we lose two games in the season, there's heat on your seat.
Because
It's just the fanatic aspect of it. But I don't know right now who Notre Dame could get or have that would be in a better spot right now than Marcus and what he's been able to do. Because with Notre Dame, and they don't have the singular billionaire booster, but they've got so many boosters that have deep pockets that are willing to provide. And I do think there's so much to be said about having the proper person as the CEO to go and have conversations with people about how much you're willing to donate to this program. Yep. What are you willing to give and put into this program? Yep.
he's a,
they've got those people all across America too. Yeah. I met a family over the weekend who's got some ties to Notre Dame, and over the lifetime of the two generations of the family, they donated $80 million to that university. They live right here in our backyard. Those people are everywhere. Right, not $80 million contributors, but people who are willing to throw money at the program, and mm-hmm. he knows how to talk to all of them.
And he's the guy that's, I think, at the top of every NFL team's list.
Yeah.
I mean, I think there's a short list of guys who they would like to poach from the college ranks, and after every season, every time the NFL starts to rev up their coaching carousel, Marcus's name is... If the teams that are looking for coaches do not call Marcus or talk to his representation, then those teams should not have those decision-makers in place.
Yeah, I mean, Marcus has everything right now. He's sharp dude. He can connect with players. He's hired really well for his staff. And he's the type of coach that you're very comfortable trotting up to a podium, because rarely is he going to say anything that's going to embarrass you. Yeah. And he's a good looking dude. Like, this is what you want as the face of an organization.
All right. So we go out now to the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems fan guest hotline. Brian Driscoll is our guest. He's the operator of IrishBreakdown.com and the Irish Breakdown podcast. All right, Brian, we mentioned before we got you on, and again, thank you so much for the time this morning, that fan is short for fanatic. And what would it take this season for there to be heat put on the seat of Marcus Freeman?
Oh, I think you'd have to have some sort of colossal failure. You'd have to have them just fall short of expectations, 8-4, 9-3 with some just a bad loss in there. Don't make the playoff again. I mean, you're in year 5, and he is recruited at an absolute elite level. And they've gone 24-4 the last 2 years. So I'm not on the championship or bust. He's never the guy if they don't win it all this year. But I think it would take a very disappointing season for there to be heat on Marcus Freeman at this point.
Well, got a roster full of great players, as you mentioned. One of them is CJ Carr. And I know Notre Dame was excited to have a quarterback that they could work with for multiple years at a time. He had a pretty good season last year. What kind of step are they expecting him to take this season?
You know, Josh, I think it's just about the maturity that comes with being a second-year player. You know, I don't know that there needs to be like this giant jump and like he's got to throw the ball 10 yards farther and he's got to run for 300 more yards. It really just comes down to show even better command of the offense. You know, little things like, you know, last year you run a double slant against Stanford and you make the right read and you hit the inside slant. He gets tackled for a, 7-yard gain and you move the chains. But, year two, you see that that's open, but coming behind it, even though that's not the read, is Jordan Faison, who's playing off cover 3. And you hit him, he's in a catch and run situation. Like little things like that, right? That you maybe a first year guy just goes with what he's taught. This is the read. Whereas second year guy says, hey, I know that's the read, but based on what I saw pre snap, I think this backside dig is going to come open. Yeah, I think things like that are really where CJ's game needs to take that next level. It's just that overall command and making sure that everybody else is on the same page. And really, it's just about last year, he was, a participant in the offense being as good as it was. This year, he needs to be the driver. I think that's the biggest thing for CJ.
One of the things that helped CJ last year was a tremendous running game with two first-round draft picks in the backfield behind him and Jeremiah Love and Jadarian Price. What is the succession plan at running back this year for Notre Dame?
Well, the good news is that's a position they've also recruited extremely well. There's no Jeremiah Love on the roster. The good news for Notre Dame is there's no Jeremiah Love on anyone's roster in college football this season. And, they've got 5 talented players. Aeneas Williams is kind of that next in line kind of guy. And, we saw Aeneas as a freshman against Penn State in the playoffs that showed that he can be a playmaker both in the pass game and as a runner. And, last year on only 24 carries, he had 5 touchdowns and averaged over 9 yards a carry. So, he's a talented player, dual threat guy. They get Kedron Young back from injury, who's a big 230-pound back, and then they brought in 2 talented freshmen who were top 100 players last year. So, they're loaded at the position. It's just about those guys have to understand, look, your job is not to replace Jeremiah and Jadarian. Your job is to go out there and play your best football. And if they do that with the expected improvements of the offensive line, I think the run game production is not going to take a step back, because they're not going to have to be Jadarian and Jeremiah. They just have to be the best version of themselves running behind what should be a better offensive line.
Brian Driscoll is our guest. He has all the Notre Dame discussion over at IrishBreakdown.com. And so you'd mentioned, some of the wide receiving talent that Notre Dame has returning from last season. We're certainly familiar with Greathouse here as Ohio State fans.
But a pair of players we're also familiar with, and Mayan Graham and Quincy Porter, going into the transfer portal, coming out in South Bend. What's their impact? What do you see their impact being early on this upcoming season?
Well, if you can't beat them, take from them, right? I mean, that's kind of what Notre Dame did at wide receiver this year. It's really just about fit into the rotation. I think that's the baseline expectation. I don't think Notre Dame needs Mylan and Quincy Porter to kind of come in and be the guy. If they do, great. But it's really just about come in and, you know, just show that you can make plays. Look, Notre Dame's got a deep depth chart. What they don't have, at least as of right now, it's like that number one Jeremiah Smith, Malachi Toney, you know, Elijah Sherratt type of number one takeover a game guy that Notre Dame's had in the past with the Will Fullers, Chase Claypool, Michael Floyd, Golden Tate type guy. It's more about the strength in numbers. You know, Jordan Faison can make plays. We saw him do that against Indiana in the playoffs. Jaden Greathouse, you guys saw, Penn State fans know what he can do. So it's just about come in and do your job. And what I think you're going to see from Notre Dame is that there's no Jeremiah Smith, but each week, depending on the matchup, you have different players capable of kind of taking over a game. And you know, Mylan and Quincy need that. And, you know, Mylan had a great spring. The guy that really needs to step up, in my opinion, more than even Mylan is Quincy Porter, because they just don't have that big body boundary presence now that Malachi Fields is in the NFL. And, you know, Quincy can give him that, but that's quite a jump going from four catches to now you have to be the guy, and he's going to compete with some other talented players. But I think that's the one that Notre Dame's fingers crossed is really hoping can take a big jump this season on top of what Mylan already did in the spring.
All right, well, nobody else is going to ask a question about the defense, so I guess it's my time to shine here. Chris Ash came in last year. He's a guy I played for. I think he's a really good ball coach, but it got off to a bit of a weird start, made some improvements over the course of the year. What is the next evolution for the defensive side of the ball for Notre Dame?
I think the big thing, Josh, is that the struggle for Coach Ash last year was he's trying to implement a system with players he doesn't know. And it took him some time to get used to going from, you know, being that blitz heavy, you know, gap fitting group that they were under Coach Golden to being more of a, hey, you need to fit off of the D tackles. You know, they're going to do this. You got to run fit off them. And it took him some time. The linebackers really struggled in the first four or five games. But you look at the second half of the season, the linebackers are extremely productive. Drake Bowen played some of his best football. Kingston Biliamas had 5.5 tackles for loss in the last five games. And you just started to see him flying to the ball more, playing fast. And I think it took some time for him to figure out, hey, here's what these guys do well and here's what they don't do well. Well, now you go into year two and he already knows that because you have a lot of players coming back. So now it's about, okay, how can I utilize my players and just let them go play fast and fly to the ball, because it's a very talented group. You know, it's a group that's ranked in the top five at each position group, is ranked in the top five nationally on all the various preseason magazines. It's about, you know, can I get my group to play to their full potential, play smart, play fast, play assignment correct football. And if they can do that, I think this defense can be special because the talent's there. And you saw how they finished in the last eight games of the year. You know, they were one of the better defenses in the country down the stretch. And that, you know, and that was against playing three ranked teams down the stretch also. So I think that's really going to be it. Be consistent. And can you make the big stops in the big games? That's what ultimately they didn't do last year. You had chances in the big games in the beginning to on defense to make stops to help your team either win the game or get the ball back with a chance to win the game. And they just couldn't do it. That's going to be the final piece of the puzzle in 2026.
Another guy some in Central Ohio might be interested in on this Notre Dame roster is Pitt transfer on the defensive line, Francis Brew. He's a Thomas Worthington kid from just north of Columbus here in town. What do you see his role being on that Notre Dame defense?
Just being that big physical presence up the middle. The biggest difference, everybody last year talked about the difference from, you know, all the man they played under Al Golden and they played more zone under Chris Ash. But really the big difference was you went from a defense that was focused on stopping the pass to a defense whose primary objective was shut down the run. And they dropped over 30 yards per game off their rushing per game total. And so when you go out and get a Francis Brew, you're not getting him to come be the next Riley Mills. You're getting him to come in and just be a force up the middle, you know, eat up space, you know, penetrate, get to the ball, and be a force against the run. And along with Teon Gray, it's like, hey, we need you to beat these guys up front so that Drake Bowen and Kingston Biliamasa and Jaden Osbury can fly to the football and have clear pass to the football and let those linebackers go make plays, you know, which is kind of what you guys, you know, Josh, you guys did at Ohio State. It's when you had those, you know, Michael, what was his name?
Michael Bennett.
Michael Bennett.
Dolphus Washington.
Like, Right, exactly. Keep these guys occupied. Let these guys fly to the football and go make plays, and then, you know, block, disrupt, get off of the ball yourselves as well. So it's really a shift in philosophy we saw. And if you're going to shift in philosophy, you know, I believe you coach what you have, you recruit to what you want. Well, they went out and recruited guys that could come in and just be physical stuffers up the middle. And that's what, even though he's 6'1", 285, he's extremely strong and powerful. And then you get Teon Gray, who's 6'6", 330. You know, you're bringing in guys whose number one job is to be forces against the run. And that's what Francis is expected to do as well this year.
I always argue that lofty expectations are a good thing, and Marcus has plenty of expectations going into year five for the Fighting Irish. Brian Driscoll of IrishBreakdown.com is our guest. Brian, thanks so much for the time today, bud. Appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me on, guys.
And he joins us courtesy of the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline, a daily fan poll that I've got a problem with. Coming up next, it's Bishop and Friends.
Atlas Butler has convenient two-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service because nobody likes waiting around. You listening, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Your favorite fan shows are available as a podcast. What a concept. And don't miss exclusive podcast content like Austin and Burn. Listen on your schedule from anywhere in the world. Available wherever you get your podcasts. All your favorite fan shows are available when you want them.
Head to 971thefan.com and hit that subscribe button.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination. When General Sherman marched through Georgia, he was listening to this show.
Use your skills for good, young warrior.
This is Bishop and Friends.
All right, the Daily Fan Poll is sponsored by JT's Pizza and Pub. It asks, would you watch SEC football games if the conference were to break away from the NCAA? We're a couple hundred votes on this thing. 66% of you said no. 66% of you, just like Friday's Daily Fan Poll, are liars.
That's what I said initially, and it was off of emotion purely.
Sure.
Like, I'm turning the games on.
You're watching.
Yeah. You're going to watch the games, and maybe some of you will closet watch them. You won't let anybody know that you watched the game, but you certainly will have consumed it. How much it means to you, I'm not sure, but you guys are watching college football on a Saturday. Let's be clear.
That's really all you need to say about it. Yeah. I know the SEC thing, we sit here, we're in our Big Ten tribe, and we go, boo the SEC, and we celebrate with T-shirts that reflect a Michigan, an Ohio State, and Indiana national champion. But you would watch the college football if the college football was offered to you.
Mm-hmm.
It's similarly like with the NFL consolation game. We talked about this on Friday. You would absolutely watch the NFL consolation game. The thing about it is the SEC thing's more likely to happen. You'll never get a third place game in the NFL because they have to be collectively bargained. And right now the league and the Players Association just have too many things on their list.
Yep.
That they're not going to worry about a consolation game right now. Now, I've maintained, Joshua, that the NFL is trying to make another day in the calendar so they can play games on that one. You want to call it Flopper Day and have it after between Sunday and Monday. They would absolutely try to play a game on the day that they've created.
And it feels like they're getting close to having the power to create another right. day, right? Like that's what
all they
got to
do is get their guy into the White House. The and most who's to say that can't happen.
Powerful cartel in the world.
One, two, three things.
Sponsored by Newman Roofing. For all your roofing, gutter, or siding needs, call Newman Roofing today at 614-NEW-ROOF or visit online at newmanroofing.com.
I mean it when I say it. Thank you to everybody for coming and interacting with us in the YouTube chat every single day. Regardless of what you say, I appreciate that you're taking time out to come and talk to us, whether you disagree with us, whether you can't stand us, however it might be. The YouTube chat, the community that we formed from it, has become one of my favorite things with this radio show that we do on a daily basis. Cardinal, Mr. Leaper, thank you guys for reminding me what I have to do tomorrow is get your Hey Guys questions at 10 a.m. Because the 20 most interesting programs, we're doing Hey Guys tomorrow at 10. So if you get those in now, I can curate them and we can have more to do. And you maybe do the job for us and we have like a whole half hour booked already.
Well.
But hey guys, tomorrow at 10 a.m. Thank you to the guys in the chat for that.
I also am a lover of the chat. If I could get paid to just be in the chat during shows and make commentary, that would be.
Don't throw that out there.
Well, we'll see.
If they match the Joshua Perry money to do that. Yeah.
There's no such thing as Joshua Perry money.
What do you mean? Everybody's got a price.
All right. So my first thing, I was scrolling through social media. I saw that Steak and Shake now makes you scan a QR code before it will activate the soda fountains inside the store. And people were like, this is a little bit insane. It's feeling whatever. And they basically said that they have a new system. It limits everybody to 40 ounces of a beverage while they're in the restaurant to keep prices affordable. And I guess my response to that is, I don't know, right? I'm not in that business. How much money you lose from people getting a water cup and getting soda.
Mm-hmm.
It can't be that much that now I have to feel like we're locking everything in the store down. It just feels like a bridge too far for me.
That's excessive.
Also, just pay for your damn soda. Well, I mean, what are we doing? Come on.
Oh, I'm a big water cup guy.
I mean, who's doing the, who's got the QR code just ready to go? Like, who's wanting to do all of this?
They hand you a little card and they're like, scan it.
First thing for me, ESPN is going through a massive amount of layoffs today. It seems like Carl Ravitch and David Lloyd, those two guys have been at ESPN for a combined 62 years. Guys let go. Ryan Clark found out yesterday while he was on air for NFL Live because people were calling and asking and they didn't want him to see it on social media. He also did not finish that show. Charles Davis, Stefania Bell, Tom Pelissero, a lot of those guys had been at NFL Network. Of course, they're owned by ESPN now. Sad day in the business. A lot of good people getting let go today.
I'll make this my second thing because that annoys me that they have to find out on social media that the job that they've given so much of themselves to, because you don't get to that point in your career where you're working at ESPN without 7-day work weeks, without 13, 14, 15 hour days, and for you to find out because someone was tweeting about it is a horrible job out of the mouse.
So I will do my second thing off of that as well. I think that is insane. Like, executives hold your water, so reporters aren't firing people on social media before you can get to it, number one. Number two, when you actually do fire the person in the middle of the show and they don't finish, do not post the clips onto social media of them making commentary during the show. I think that is just a really bad way to be. It's tough. It's the nature of the business, but also you can't tout the $60 million to Pat McAfee and then not look like a jerk during a day like this. So they got some things to figure out over there.
So I saw this actually yesterday. The Columbus Clippers are doing an Ohio State night on September 18th. It's a Friday, and they dropped some Ohio State themed colored Clippers gear. Some of it looks pretty daggone cool. May want to check it out. Maybe get you a new Columbus Clippers Ohio State collab.
I mean, that's understanding the assignment, right? You're in Columbus. If you're a sports team, like Columbus Aviators did it with a Jim Tressel bobblehead, had Marcus Freeman and James Laurinaitis on the sideline for one of their games. The Clippers doing the same thing. The Blue Jackets leaning into it for the Stadium Series game. Final thing from me, we've got the University of Miami. Yes, is the U back? We'll ask that question tomorrow at 11 o'clock. And then Louisville. Can Lincoln Kienholz lead the Louisville Cardinals into the playoff? That'll be on Thursday's program.
All right, final thing for me. We talked about it a little bit earlier. Slick roads, keep your distance, get off of people's tails, drive safely today.
And don't go anywhere. Rothman and Ice coming up next. Jay-Z, Justin Zwick in for Matty Ice. The boys will talk to our buddy Tyvus Powell at 1:30.
The three of us are back tomorrow, 9 to noon. Bishop and Friends right here on
Atlas Butler has convenient 2-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listen in BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FIRST.